same old place that you laughed about.
Tonight, it's the return of Patty Vasquez to Pretty Late. Along with our lovely host, we'll have Elliot Serrano, Gayco, Carissa from Knife and Time, Tess Considine, and Dwayne Kennedy in studio. All that and more right now on the return of Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez.
Patty's back.
Can't Matthew Ball. I can't believe Matthew Ball is yelling at me about Mr. Cotter and Mrs. Garrett now, and how Mr. Cotter was a main character on Welcome Back, Cotter. But I guess it helps that his name is in the title. Okay, we're not going to get sucked into this, are we?
Yeah. Well, his name wasn't in the title, was it? This is Welcome Back.
Welcome Back, Cotter. Wasn't it Welcome Back, Cotter?
Oh, no, it's just Welcome Back, Cotter. Was it? Yeah. Oh, all right. Then his name wasn't
Cotter.
Mr. Cotter.
But in later seasons, near the end of the run of the show, Gabe Kaplan really receded. He became the Mr. Goodman. He was like the principal, and it focused a lot more on the Sweat Hogs. Because John Travolta had left the show.
That's right.
And he started moving up all the other characters, and it wasn't even about the high school anymore.
No.
Because a lot of them had graduated, so you couldn't
see what happens, Craig. You just play intro music, and we don't even talk about the fact that we haven't been here for 2 weeks.
You were here
last night. It looked amazing.
Yeah.
For the Steve and Johnny 21st annual After Dark Cheap Date New Year's Eve show. I don't know how
Life After Dark, Cheap Date.
Yes.
New Year's Eve special, yes.
That looked crazy. There were 20 guests at any one given time.
Yep, we had a whole bunch of pizza from Lou Malnati's. Thank you again, Lou Malnati's.
Thank you, Lou Malnati's.
And then the giant star, Rose, directly across the street from
us. Did they call it Rose? It lifted
in the air. Chi Star Rising.
I'm already silly.
Chi Town Rising?
Chi Town. Hashtag.
Yeah, hashtag it.
Did you watch any of it online on NBC?
I actually did have it on this TV, but I didn't. When it went up, I ran out there and watched it.
Is it weird it was Mario Lopez hosting?
It was super weird.
Yeah, I don't.
Chicago's very own.
Yeah. That was the thing that seemed a little strange.
I thought they dressed it up.
Well, he was talking to the band Chicago, and you could tell like how weathered they were, how much they knew how to adjust for this, and you could see like his skin tightening up from the cold. Like
it's freezing.
I can't talk anymore.
It was cold.
It looked like it was a lot of fun. It looked like there were a lot of people out celebrating. Yes, we've been gone for a little over 2 weeks. Was that right? We left, and the day we left, the next day, we went and saw Star Wars on opening night at the AMC Dine-In Theater Experience at Block 37, where they have recliner seats. You can push a button. Someone brings you cocktails and
brings
food.
Yeah, that was amazing.
I was surprised they didn't just shovel it into my face. That's how it really is.
It's a mechanical arm.
It was wonderful. Did you see it in 3D, or was it?
No, it was just standard definition, which I actually liked better for that movie. Yeah.
Because I get motion sickness when I see things in 3D. Mm. Now, Daphne, you've seen it.
Yeah, I saw it actually just for the first time last night in 3D.
In 3D.
At IMAX.
Was it coming at you?
This stuff was flying. Debris was flying around. It was great. Yeah. I loved it. Although I will say this. I think the 3D gave me an eye strain.
Yes, it hurts.
It was very bizarre. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got home and I was like, why is my face hurting?
Yeah, it's too much.
Yeah, but I did love it. I loved the movie.
I loved it. Elliot has seen it 3 times.
I've seen it 3 times, yes.
He just came from my home where we were watching Empire Strikes Back. Nope. Actually, he only saw half of Empire and half of Jedi. Was what he just saw.
Well, the best, all the really good parts.
Yeah, were you just fast-forwarding?
No, it's like because they had already started watching Empire like the night before, and they wanted to pick up and finish.
Got it.
And then we started into Return of the Jedi, and then we stopped at when the movie just starts to get that lag with the Ewoks come in, and then we had to leave to get down to the studio. So
yes, because I'm going to go see Star Wars this weekend with my son, because I don't think he can go to school on Monday having been one of the kids who has not seen it yet.
That's probably a wise choice.
And he did not want to see. He's texting right now and telling me he doesn't want to talk about it. he did not want to go and see the new Star Wars without rewatching 4, 5, and 6, which I actually call 1, 2, and 3.
Yeah, I do.
That's a whole different thing.
Although it's funny that he wanted to rewatch them because he was ready to reenact all the lightsaber scenes as they were occurring. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, dude, you've seen this. You pretty much know this movie. But no, he hadn't.
Griffin's standing there. He's got his arm in his sleeve. No!
Because his hand got chopped off. I was going, how is he going to do that? No, look, he did it.
Look, he put his arm in his sleeve.
Yeah, his hand was chopped. He's a good actor, too.
Yeah, they had all the moves down.
Yeah.
That was very fun.
Yeah.
It's a very small living room to reenact.
It's like me and Caddyshack. It's similar.
Similar. Yeah, you have somebody like, acting it out in front of you while you're watching it on TV.
Yeah, I act it out just in all the lines. Yeah, my brother and I used to.
This is like better than 3D because as it's happening on the TV, there are people reenacting it right in front of you.
Yeah, yeah.
And when Griffin yells, no, and it's the lightsaber goes flying, the lightsaber goes whizzing by your head. And you're like, wow.
And then Elliot starts, you know, when Darth Vader is having like ripping things off the wall to throw at Luke. Elliot starts throwing pillows and stuffed
throwing,
animals.
I thought, yeah, I might as well might get as in well. On this. Yeah, and I started throwing things at him. And I'm like, dude, if you're going to commit, it's time to commit.
This could be like the next Rocky Horror Picture Show type of thing, you know, where they'd throw the toast and they'd like do all the stuff. But we'll put little kids down in front and we'll make them act it out.
I am ready.
What do you think?
To go see that. I am. Sign me up.
We might be onto something.
Because if I get to throw things at little kids,
that's my whole point.
Was anyone dressed up at the Star Wars that you went to?
Not like Star Wars characters necessarily. People are always kind of oddly dressed. No, not intentionally.
Not intentionally.
No.
I was judging their attire.
Yeah,
but
you really made me pause with that question. I was like, there were some. Yeah, it was New Year's Eve.
How did the Hunger Games people get in here?
Craig, have you seen it again since we saw it on the opening night?
I've just seen it the one time.
Because Betty has not gone to see it.
Betty doesn't care.
Oh.
Oh.
Yeah, I asked her if she wanted to, and she hasn't seen any of the original movies. Mm-hmm. And I asked her if she wanted to see those first. And she just said, no, not really. She's okay.
Well, she went to a Blackhawks game that night.
She did. She went to a Blackhawks game. Yeah. She went there with her niece and her two nephews.
How are you doing, Craig?
I'm doing great.
How were the holidays?
They stayed for 10 days. They were there for 10 days in our apartment. 8 family members, plus Betty and I, so 10 people in a one-bedroom. Yeah, that happened. It was okay. It was fun. I had a good time. They made me breakfast every morning. Her mother made me breakfast.
What kind of breakfast?
Yeah, it's like, actually just like
rancheros.
Yeah, you just put like ham and eggs together, and you mix it, and then there's a spice.
And it's fantastic.
And it's great. It's magic. Really lovely. And then there's beans on the side, of course, because there's always beans on the side with any dish at any time.
Has your apartment now felt much larger than it did before they...
It feels gigantic now, yes.
Yes.
Yeah. We moved stuff around, too, so that we could fit little areas for everyone. Mm-hmm. And we haven't moved, like, the kitchen table back or anything. So we have all that space. And it's pretty lovely.
Are you dancing now? Where are you?
A lot of dancing.
Dancing.
Almost entirely dancing. No, not enough of that.
Eight,
I should do more.
Eight
people plus Betty and I, so
right.
10 in a one-bedroom.
10 people in a one-bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
That's improbable.
10 days.
I was with my family for like 5 minutes, like a 10-bedroom. I thought I was going to die. I'm just kidding.
I had a friend tell me that their Christmas ended when they found out one of their relatives was voting for Trump. I was like, oh, look at the time. I got to go. More after this on 720 WGN. It's pretty late, and we're back, and I don't know where the buttons are. Which one is it? This one. Oh, man. There have to be people who are completely Star Wars'd out that just don't care. Don, how are you doing up in news, Don Norton?
Oh, I'm doing great. You know, I saw that movie this afternoon.
And what did you think?
Oh, boy.
See?
Yeah.
No spoilers.
It's back. No,
no spoilers.
But yeah,
again, that's Roger Badish yelling in the background. Does that mean Roger has not seen it
Roger?
Yet?
Roger has not seen it yet.
No. Okay.
I haven't had the time to go.
Turn your radio off, Roger. It's not our fault. I'm teasing. I would say now, well, here, Don, are you a fan of 1, 2, and 3? Not the Luke Skywalker, Han Solo, I'm talking the Jar Jar Binks.
Oh, yeah, yes.
You enjoyed those?
I still think that was pretty good. I thought the last one before this one was starting to get a little far removed for me. You know?
In Return of the Jedi.
Right.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
So I just started watching that again. Now, Daphne, how did you feel about Return of the Jedi?
I loved Return of the Jedi, but I want to say, as I've said before, I cannot stand that. Like, anytime Jar Jar Binks is brought up, I get angry.
Yeah. Craig can't even, he's like, he's shaking his head he's nodding and shaking his head, which is weird, because it's like,
I'm
twitching.
Not as passionate of a Star Wars fan as like an Elliot Serrano is, but Jar Jar Binks, for whatever reason, is just the worst. He's the worst thing ever.
Yeah, I mean, if you wanted to make me upset, just call me and leave me messages like, Misa calls you! Misa want to talk to you now! Misa wants, I will lose
really?
It.
Really? All right.
Oh, why did I tell Arlene that?
There's my first New Year's resolution.
Yikes. I was surprised. I, So we watched Empire. I started watching it 2 days ago with Griffin, and we stopped because it was bedtime or whatever, and we didn't have time to get back to it until today. And then Elliot was coming down to do the show, and on his way, rather than going all the way home on an errand, I said, come on over, watch the movies with us. And, you know, I was doing prep for the show. I wanted to pull some stories and get some ideas. So I was kind of not really paying attention to Empire as much.
Yeah.
But when Return of the Jedi came on, like, I didn't, from, I don't know why, but for some reason, like, to me, that's my, maybe because Empire has so much anxiety. Elliot mentioned that in the ship, it's one of the last times, and first, it's one of the few times all of them are together. C-3PO, R2-D2.
Yes.
You know, Chewbacca, Han Solo.
All the main characters,
all of them
you mean.
Are together. They're back together.
The main characters?
Yes.
Mrs. Garrett.
Mrs. Garrett
makes a weird appearance.
Mr. Cattell.
Mr. Cattell.
Makes an odd appearance.
But I don't know why. I don't know. I think for me, it was a time of life. I had a really big crush on Luke Skywalker.
Mark Hamill looked really good. I mean, he was in shape. Yeah. He was very buff.
Yeah.
He was, as the guys would say today, swole.
Yeah.
Swole. Oh, yeah.
Swole.
I don't like the way that sounds.
That's
it's a
way.
Horrible. Yeah.
He's
it's
got
the
by the end
though.
Of the arms. He looked really
Craig
good.
Craig and I are we're yeah. we're saying fit. No to this.
No, I'm just saying
word.
That's what it's
out
say.
Now.
You go to the
swole?
Gym.
Getting rid of it.
If,
let's get rid
if,
of it.
If Mark Hamill walked through the gym looking like that, all the other bros in the gym would go, "Dude, you look swole."
Not on fleek.
And then, of course, he's wearing the cool black outfit.
Yes.
Right, so the black outfit. I mean, come on.
Makes him look really, you know, really, really bad.
And he does keep making threats, like, in the you know, when he goes into Jabba the Hutt's, you know.
His palace.
He keeps making threats, and then, like, he falls into the into the pit with a huge monster.
Well, and his character was such a shift from the very, you know, the first movie they released, where he's like, oh, Uncle Owen, come on. I want to go on a different planet.
I care.
You know, Owen kept saying, "You shoot your eye out, kid." Wait, I'm sorry. I'm getting my movies
wait a
confused.
Oh, come on!
I want to join the Empire, Uncle Owen. You'll shoot your eye out. That's true. There is his arc is very different. Just like with Han Solo.
Yes.
Han Solo's the exact reverse. In the beginning, he's a bad mofo who shoots you under the table, and by the end he's kind of a bumbling guy.
Yeah,
you know, it's kind of like, oh, look at you.
He gets a little more sensitive, yeah, just a little bit.
You know, because
he's in love.
Yeah, there you go. That's what happens.
He's in love.
That's what happens when you're a bad mofo with a cool ship and you fly around.
I thought you were going to say something else.
Yeah, I'm sorry. No,
I know.
I'm gonna do that.
You're going to get beeped.
From one end of the galaxy to the other, all you got to do is meet a girl and all your swag is gone.
Oh, you know, man.
You'll be like, you go from saying, I know, when she says she loves you too. I love you too. Oh, Leia, thank you.
You almost are talking about this like with almost a moderate level of disdain.
For Han Solo, yes. I have a tremendous disdain for Han Solo.
Do you really?
No, come on.
Again, I've had this thing. This has been my thing for years. I've gone on record about this. Han Solo knew Luke had a thing for Leia. And even though he didn't know they were brother and sister, he made plays on her whenever Luke wasn't around.
Maybe
bros
he
don't
did
do
know
that to each other.
Ooh. Maybe Han could tell that they were brother and sister. Maybe,
but
he
okay,
felt
but,
that.
But,
yeah, but see,
but
neither
contrary.
Of them
but hold on, but Luke then did Luke know that Han had a thing for?
Yeah.
Okay, but Luke kept making his moves too.
Well, Luke was like, I got to do other things like fight the Empire, become a Jedi Knight, stuff like that.
No, I think you're being way too easy on Luke.
No, Luke had to save the galaxy, whereas Han was just trying to make a play.
Luke's off trying to go to work.
Although in episode 7, Han Solo does pretty much redeem everything, because I'm telling you, the Harrison Ford, the Han Solo character, was the best he was in any
amazing.
Of the movies.
I was crying.
In episode 7.
Shush.
By the way, from the 219, Jar Jar Binks reminds me of that awful snowman from that movie Frozen. Both of them are the worst to make me cringe.
That's true.
Yeah. Misa, let it go.
Okay, since these are actually all Disney, these are all Disney products, right? The Star Wars now is a Disney and Frozen. So I was at Disney World, and I can't tell you how annoyed Griffin was every time there was like a Frozen parade, there was Frozen music, everything was, and plus it's Christmas time, it's the winter season, so everything
is Frozen.
It's Frozen, and and there's a lot of princess stuff. And I know that I should know that.
Yeah.
But, you know, all these girls are like dressed up as all the princesses. There's like one boy pirate. I kind of felt bad for, you know, our boys in like fantasy. You know, there isn't quite the similar balance when you go to Disney World.
Yeah. I mean, it's almost like movies like where they've been written like so many female characters in them that are like heroes and stuff. Mm-hmm. What? What are you talking about? Disney, my might be the only balancing part of this whole thing.
Well, that's what I love about it. There's no girls dressed up as Mulan anywhere there. It was all like, it was all Belle and it was Snow White and it was Cinderella. This is a lot of princess stuff. It was intense.
I just can't get over that Elsa dress is like $100.
Yeah.
If my 9-year-old wants an Elsa dress, I'm not spending $100. If we find it at a garage sale later on,
just get her something from American Girl.
There you go. I have to say, I used to want to have girls. Like, you know, when you have two boys, people are like, are you going to keep trying for a girl? I wanted to have three. Not because I wanted a daughter. You keep trying. Isn't that the, you keep trying for a girl?
Yeah. I'm just going to keep getting as many as it takes. As many as it takes. I'm never stopping until we get a girl. It could be 2 more times. It could be 10. I don't know.
I'm rolling right off the delivery table. That's not what I wanted. I have to keep going again.
Honey, get back in here.
Pull the lever. More after this on 720 WG. But it's only eyes. Both them in. Oh, you know what? Tess Considine just told me about this song. She's in the green room. She'll be performing live at midnight. And this is a song she's released as a single. So we'll learn more about that and catch up with her as she's getting ready to go back to school. And that's something I do kind of miss. When I was in college, there was something great about coming home, doing all the fun stuff, you know, kind of sort of treading in your old tracks and then going back to school. Although, Elliot, you and I ran into an interesting situation over the holiday season. I didn't know I was going to talk about this. And we won't mention the name of the bar.
Talk about going back to your old stomping grounds.
And we went to my old stomping grounds. A good friend of the show who lives in my neighborhood invited us out for cocktails and to talk about Star Wars. A friend of the show who has not seen any of the Star Wars movies. It's Peter Nikias, Chicago Tribune writer, has never seen any of the Star Wars movies.
And yet he's a huge Lord of the Rings nerd.
That's really astounding. I wonder how many people love Lord of the Rings and aren't big Star Wars fans.
There are quite a few, actually. They're a lot like that, actually. I found that out.
I thought it was interesting because Lord of the Rings was written by somebody who had gone through World War I and kind of created this fantastical world. And I thought it was interesting that Peter, who sees a lot of violence and reports on it, was drawn to that more than he was drawn to the fantasy of Star Wars. That was just something that I thought was interesting. Now, the reason I bring up my old stomping grounds is the bar that we went to is in my neighborhood, on the far northwest side of Chicago. This is the second time, Daphne, that I have taken Elliot to a bar in my neighborhood, and we have felt out of place.
It's hard to believe.
We went to a bar last time. It was called Three Counties Pub on Milwaukee Avenue, but we happened to be there on a day when they were having like this truly an Irish fundraising event. They were taking the minutes. They were talking about the treasurer made a report of all the funds they had for fundraising and for charities, and when they came around and offered a raffle ticket to win a bottle of Patty's whiskey, we felt compelled. Like, it was kind of like, not do you want one, you're going to buy one, right? You know, it was one of those moments.
Otherwise we're not going to be walking out of that bar.
Did you feel less or more uncomfortable when we walked into the neighborhood bar, actually much closer to where I grew up? I guess because I would say probably worse, because the moment we walked in, there were a bunch of people. It's not a diverse bar is what I'm saying. And Elliot and I walked in, Elliot Serrano.
It's a funny thing. Here's a funny thing that Patty has. Whoever she walks in with, she kind of like assumes their ethnicity. So
I look like them. I fit in with whoever I'm walking in with. So if it's a group of white people, no one questions my presence in the bar.
Okay.
But if I walk in with someone like Elliot or a black friend, like, I am also other.
Well, and then the first words as we walked in.
The first thing we hear.
They'll let anybody in here.
But okay, so was that because of race or because it was Patty?
Could have been anything.
We knew. We've heard things.
This
like
is
that
where
before.
This is on the just north side,
the
up
northwest
there,
side of Chicago. Yeah. In a neighborhood where I got beat up for being the only Mexican kid in the class. I was a little bit outraged when we were leaving because I couldn't. I was like, really? All these years have passed, and I'm still. I put in my time in this neighborhood.
Oh,
right?
It was funny because the evening went by. We're sitting with Peter and we're having drinks, and he's explaining us the whole thing. Oh, you know, don't worry. It's not like that. Just, you know, they're very, you know.
He's
you have
explaining
to be...
their racism.
Yes.
No. He was explaining how if people don't see you regularly around there, you're going to be considered other.
And he Norwood goes, Park is a little bit like that, yes.
Right. And he kept saying things like, well, there are a lot of people in here who I haven't seen in here before, and so on and so forth. But it's funny. We walked in, and I would get sideways glances from time to time, and people are looking at me. And I'm like, I'm just sitting here trying to have a drink. I'm not bothering anybody. Mm-hmm. I'm here talking to this dude here, da-da-da-da. I made the mistake again of breaking the seal, so I had to keep going to the restroom and going back and forth. And every time I went to the restroom, I was getting the sideways glances.
Now, was this one of those bars where there's like regulars? Like,
yes, it's a hardcore regulars.
Yeah, so I've had this experience, and I didn't perceive it as sort of a racial thing. But, you know, when you go into an environment where it's like there's just a group of regulars, like these are the people that are there, you know, regularly. That's why they're called regulars, right? And then you walk in, you can just feel like, okay, these people do not have a lot of visitors.
Can we give a New Year's resolution to the folks that are the regulars who see new people come in? Can we give them like an assignment to take it down a notch for their territorialness?
You can try.
I mean, like, wouldn't you want the owner of a bar to be able to feel like it's okay? Like, you know, like more business keeps them in business.
Well, that would be a wise strategy.
So those of you who see other walk, whether it's because of race or just not familiar, let's all just take a breath.
Yeah. One of the things you do have to understand, like some of our innate, we just haven't overcome some of our innate tribal natures yet. We just haven't. We haven't. And we live in a very global world, right? So it's just, for example, we're just naturally nicer and more concerned about our family and our friends. Mm-hmm. And they say the average human can only keep track of about 100 people. That's about it. Right?
I can keep track of 10%.
Right. Exactly. How about people who don't retain like facial like features necessarily, like, and everyone sort of blends in?
Yeah.
I wonder if they're more likely to go, oh, look, another person. Because I'm not really good with faces and names.
Yeah, that might be what helps you. But we're just naturally going to do that. So, you know, that's why we have been given a prefrontal cortex, right? To be able to think about that and realize, oh, wait a second. Okay, just because I don't know person X doesn't mean I have to assume the worst about them.
Right.
And because they've entered my environment, I can kind of think through this for a second and pause. And
well, what Elliot loved on the way out.
Yeah. As an aside, if I'm at my favorite comic shop and someone new walks in, I'm not going to go, who let that guy in here?
No, you won't.
You know, I'm not going to do that. No. But then it is funny because as we had finally, we're ready to wrap up the evening and leave. As we're walking out, and I'm going to Patty, can we just go?
Yeah. I'm uncomfortable.
I've run this gauntlet a few times.
It's not
so
fun.
I don't feel like I want to run it again. So I'm going, okay, let's go. And some guy sitting at the bar goes, you're Patty, aren't you? You're the comedian.
After you've sat there for like 2 hours.
But I came with the Puerto Rican, so clearly I've already crossed some line.
It was funny.
On the way out, I get the yes.
And I was going, dude, where were you when we walked in?
Yes.
Right. He was sleeping.
Yeah.
He had his head down on
the
bar.
I'm the comedian, Patty Vasquez.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm real funny, aren't I?
Aren't I? Hello.
I'm hilarious.
But I do think, and this goes to New Year's resolutions, I actually came to my resolution while I was in Disney World because I had some startling events happen that sort of made me feel intensely negative. Mm. And I realized I was in this, but a lot of people seem to be exuding negativity in Disney World. I don't know if it's because they're spending all this money and they feel like they're owed an experience that they aren't quite achieving and their mm-hmm. kids are whiny. And, you know, there's a lot of combativeness. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of like shoving and getting mine at Disney World. And I was like, I can't, it was really affecting me. Mm-hmm. And I realized if I could latch on to the positive stuff, that's why I have the cast member selfies. Every time someone was nice, if you stop and talk to a cast member and just are friendly, chit chat with them, ask them where they're from, do they like working there? And they all will say yes because it's the happiest place on earth.
Yeah.
But they are so helpful. I can't tell you how many cast members ended up helping me out, giving me advice. Couple of freebies along the way.
Yeah.
I got a free shake at the Sci-Fi Dine-In because they said I had made their week because I was just hanging out with them, talking to them as though they were human beings.
Yes.
So my resolution is to take time and just be in the moment with somebody wherever I am.
Yeah,
that's my resolution for 2016.
I think it's wonderful. I liked it earlier. You used the word commitment.
And that's, I think
it's a much more powerful word. Resolution.
Than resolve. I resolve and I commit.
Yeah.
So what's the difference?
So commit means you're choosing to organize yourself to move in a certain direction, right?
Right.
But what happens is our life can often be like a plane flying from Chicago to LA, which I know you do regularly, right? So the plane never flies in a direct line, right?
No.
It's always course correcting. So what happens, the whole point about making a commitment is that we say, you know, I'm committing. So you're committing to being present. right. with another human being. Well, what's going to happen is you're going to find yourself drifting off that commitment.
Yes.
Right. You're going to be talking to Elliot, or you'll get whatever it looks like. You'll get distracted.
I'll be on Facebook.
Yeah, you'll be on Facebook. So
go ahead.
So
I'm listening.
It's a process, Elliot. It's a process then of recommitting.
Right.
Right. So you're just like a plane that's constantly shifting its direction, right? Course correcting. It's a constant practice of recommitting, because we will fall off our commitments. And that's why a resolution is this kind of like, oh, I'm just going to resolve this. You know, this is going to be the thing. It doesn't work that way. So it's really about having a process, being committed and then recommitting without, by the way, without, let me just say another word, blaming, judging and criticizing yourself when you fall off your commitment.
Because then it's easier to not return to the commitment.
Totally. You'll just double down on not being committed.
Right. You're like, oh, I didn't do it yesterday, so
I'm done.
I screwed it up.
Exactly. When you know it's a process of just recommitting, then you just recommit.
And another thing about committing and resolutions and not being judgy, and this is something that has been going on social media lately when I'm really behind this.
Yes.
The whole, we haven't seen you around here, why are you here? Don't judge those people who do show up in the gym for that first week decided that they really want to commit to that. Because you have a lot of folks who go to the gym all the time and they're accustomed to suddenly all these people are showing up because they made that commitment or that resolution to do it.
Yes.
But instead of being supportive of it, they're being all, you know, what are you doing here? We know you're not going to show up here another week or whatever.
Yeah.
But I will say this, how much is that a story we tell ourselves, and how much is it just like going into that bar, right? Because Daphne asks, how much is it, do we think it's the racism, how much is it the story we're telling ourselves? Because you and I have talked about that a lot.
It's always the story you're telling yourself.
It's always, unless it actually unless they actually say they'll let any Puerto Rican in here or any Mexican in here, unless they actually say that, I guess the rest of we are telling ourselves the rest of that story.
Yes.
Right. And when people are, so when I go to, like when I work out,
no, and this doesn't mean that there wasn't something occurring, right?
Right.
But I think when we come to it with the sense of curiosity, and then we can sort of,
well, I stopped and said seriously, and nothing. I was ready, and Elliot was like,
"You don't have to do that." Last thing I need to do is walk right into a bar and already get into a fight.
You're like, "Please, Fatty,
because it was."
Fatty,
no.
Yes.
To answer your initial question, Patty, I felt more comfortable with the Irish Republican Army at that last bar than I did at
that,
this bar.
This new bar, yes.
So
I went there. I opened it yesterday on New Year's Eve.
Aww.
I was the only person at the bar when they opened at 3.
Wow.
And I sat down. It's a nice bar.
It
was
very
quiet. It was empty. And then Peter and his family came in a little bit later, and it was very nice.
I really enjoyed spending time with Peter and his wife. They're really nice
people. Oh, very cool. Yeah, you have to come to this bar. I can't tell you the name of it.
I know.
I know there are people.
I know you want to. Don't.
I can't.
Don't.
No, I've been asked specifically. This is so weird. Like, but it's such a hardcore neighborhood joint.
Yeah.
Off the beaten, literally off the beaten path. You wouldn't even know that it was there. I don't want to draw too much attention to it. But we're going to take a break here, but I do want to find out if anyone is committing. And you can join our conversation about anything we bring up, whether it's Star Wars or neighborhood bars or feeling uncomfortable, whether it's when you work out or walking into a new place that people seem to be staring at you. But
Eric, I would love to hear people's commitments for 2016.
Yeah.
Like, what are people? I think I'd love that. You know, I think the more that we can spend time talking about our vision and our ideas and what we're up to with our creative energy in life, the much better off we are. Because if not, you're just going to be blaming and judging and criticizing.
And if you need that extra sort of just a little bit of a gentle, I want to say shove, because shove and gentle don't go together. Nudge. A gentle nudge
toward
your commitment. I think Dr. Daphne Scott can help you kind of cross that, any bridge that you have, any gap that you have between you and your commitment. 312-981-7200. That's 312-981-7200. And Elliot and I can tell you how badly we fail at everything else. Remember this on 720 WGN. It's pretty late and we're back. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Star Wars. You know why? Because I have Star Wars.
All Star Wars.
All Star Wars. All the time. All State Showcase Studio on Michigan Avenue. I have given some Star Wars cereal to my guests and to Craig. I have it's Lucky Charms, but it's in the shape of Craig, you got a Stormtrooper charm?
Yeah, and a TIE Fighter.
I love the Stormtrooper charm.
There's also a lightsaber, I believe. There is, I don't know what the rest of these are. What's
these little pieces? They're TIE Fighters and Millennium Falcons. It's a little Millennium Falcon crisp.
Wait, though, is the lightsaber a bad guy lightsaber?
If red. It's red, yeah, yes, it's a bad guy lightsaber.
That's
yeah,
weird.
But there's a BB. There's a BB-8.
There's a BB-8 marshmallow.
Now, apparently, they are overstocked on this at the Jewels.
Apparently, and, I wonder why
there was. But I will say this: this is really good on ice cream. I'm sorry, ooh, I don't have ice cream for all of our guests to put your Star Wars limited edition box of General Mills ice cream with no sponsors. This is just Don. I don't know if I get in any sort of trouble here on the radio for talking about my cereal, but I highly recommend the Star Wars themed cereal. It's very good.
What is that? Let's see. It's
Star Wars. There's the BB-8 is on the cover,
wow,
and this is basically Lucky Charms, but with all the shapes of Star Wars characters, and I don't know how to explain it, but it's quite tasty.
Was that out before Christmas?
I don't know. I just saw it this week at on the end caps. Elliot Serrano on his Instagram and on his Facebook will often post pictures of all the merchandising involved in Star Wars. And I felt like I was walking through an Elliot Serrano Instagram when I was at the Jewels. Yes, Kirk?
Can you pick the good guy? Is there a good guy and a bad guy box? Or is it just there's a bad guy box?
Actually, there is a bad guy box.
Darth Vader
box.
Oh,
really?
There's a Darth Vader box. There's a Yoda box. There's a
I didn't see a Yoda box.
Yeah, there's a Yoda box. There's a Kylo Ren box. Mm. And there's the BB-8 box. Now, do the shapes correspond with the characters? That part I don't know, because I have
dig through that.
Yeah, because I've I haven't bought all of them, and it's like I haven't like bought them and opened them to try them all out.
Well, that's why I gave you one sealed, and I opened one for you to share.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, what is this little thing with the blue? Is that R2? Oh, it's R2-D2. This charm.
That one.
It's gotta be. It's a lucky charm. Okay.
Yeah, what's the pink blob?
That's what I was wondering.
That's what I was trying. I'm like,
it's Pac-Man. It's like a Pac-Man.
Pac-Man makes a weird appearance.
I actually thought the stormtrooper was Pac-Man.
I don't either, Don.
Yeah. Pink blob.
Maybe it's in the next movie. We'll be talking more Star Wars after 1 a.m. We have Tess Considine coming in at midnight. We have a Gayco sketch group coming in at 12:30. They are performing in Sketch Fest, which, by the way, starts on Thursday of next week. And they have performances. Over 146 groups are performing over 100. There's a big numbers. It's over 150 something and 150 something else, and I am performing on Sunday.
That's right,
at the cabaret at Stage 773. I'm performing a show called Stupid Stuff, which is really about all the stupid things that we sweat. Right? There's that book, Don't Sweat the Small Stuff, but we do. So stop telling me not to.
Yeah, stop bossing me.
Stop. Don't tell me.
Don't tell me. Don't tell me not to sweat stuff.
Uh-uh.
I'm sweaty right now.
I'm still sweating stuff from sixth grade.
Yeah.
Like stuff I said. Oh my God, I can't believe I said that to her.
That is the weirdest. Okay. All right. Total tangent.
Oh.
No, those moments when you remember some horribly embarrassing thing that you did, either to hurt somebody or that you don't even know why you did it.
Mm-hmm.
It pops up. How does that, like, what unlocks that horrible, painful memory?
Shame.
I think it's a good thing we have that. It's nice to know. Wow, did your chair just break?
Karma.
Well, karma. Patty is now pretty much laying horizontal. She can barely reach the microphone.
That's not
that
good.
Was
don't
like really
tell anyone that
clunked.
Was
the universe is saying something.
Yes.
Yeah. You were saying.
Oh, yeah. I think that's a good thing that we have a little
shame.
Bit of it. Yeah, a little bit of you know.
Do you want some of my shame? Because I've got an excess of shame.
I'm not saying unhealthy. Unhealthy levels are not good. Not good. But we need a little bit to moderate.
Well, yeah. And I try to, like, when they pop up, I try to figure out what it is that still bothers me about that situation. Like, why do I still feel embarrassed or humiliated?
Because you're incomplete.
Yeah. Why aren't we
all? You got incomplete with that person. Oh, yeah. I mean, one of the greatest things you can do in your life is go back and clean up all your incompletions with other people.
How do you complete something from when you were 12?
You go find the person and just tell them, hey, this thing happened. And I just want to let you know.
No, Craig.
Sure. Sure.
What do you...
No, well, I was going to read this text to you from the 312. It's off topic. Welcome back, Patty and Craig. Missed you guys a lot. By the way, Patty, you should use Craig's story about 10 days with 10 family members, 9 of whom are Mexicans, on your show. If you want to work that in somewhere, I'm fine.
Oh, on
your TV show.
My sitcom.
Yeah.
Hey, Craig, when you walked into the house, did someone go, what's that guy doing here?
They did. They tried to throw me out several times.
Did you feel out of place?
Don't let anybody in here.
No, everybody's really great. And I actually talked to a lot of people with my smartphone, though.
Oh, right. You had a translator.
Yeah, I have
on your phone.
Google Translate, if you put it on your smartphone, you can talk to it. Mm-hmm. And both sides of the conversation can be had into the phone. And it translates back Spanish to English, English to Spanish.
How That's accurate awesome. Did you feel... Well, I mean, how do you know?
Really accurate.
How do you?
I had no idea.
You don't know
because Betty would go to work, so I would be alone with the family members.
They're like, we don't know why Craig kept talking about about goats so much,
Craig
but
was really focused on goats.
Were there any TV shows that you were able to bond over?
We watched Telemundo a lot. And I'm not really sure what happened on those soap operas, but they seemed important.
You know what's a good show is Caso Cerrado. One of my mother's favorite shows is Caso Cerrado.
Hasta el Fin de Mundo is a pretty good show.
Not familiar.
Okay.
Caso Cerrado is like a judge show, like a courtroom thing, but about relationships. But her decision is final.
And then there's...
Because you know really why? Funny... Case closed.
Her decision is final.
There's a really funny actor named like Arsenio Derbez. Have you heard of this guy?
I have not.
They're big fans of him. There was a couple Netflix movies I watched. But, check that out.
Okay.
When you say watched, you literally were just watching it because you couldn't understand anything.
Yes.
It was like watching like a car go by.
Mm-hmm. It's a really pleasant visit.
He's holding up his phone to like translate
Hold on a second.
The movie.
Okay, so I've just figured something out. You had a pleasant visit. Part of the reason you had a pleasant visit is you didn't have to really talk to anybody.
Yeah. Yeah, this is the secret to my relationship with my in-laws, is that I really don't have to communicate with them much, so it's a really pleasant relationship we have. We can't get very in-depth at all about anything. It's very simple conversation.
I feel like I have to give Elliot headphones, because I don't feel he's hearing the whole conversation.
No.
But Elliot actually spent Christmas Eve dinner with us, and left saying, you know, it reminds me a lot of my family, and
yeah.
I don't know if that was a compliment or not.
Yeah, no, your mom is a piece of work.
She is a very strong, intelligent woman with a broad range of experiences, and she was sharing a lot of that.
Yeah, it was fun because
she listens to the show.
Yeah, she does. Well, she's fine, but there's nothing I wouldn't say that I wouldn't say to Abuelita myself, and we were having the discussion and it's,
about the Bible, no less
about the Bible. But here's the thing: is that because started it. She started it, so.
You're gonna.
I'm sorry, I'm sorry, but you know, I'm this close to a theology degree. People forget, you know, I've studied
or not aware
or not aware.
It's hard to forget if you don't.
I don't think anybody forgets. Yeah, I didn't know.
I think a lot of times I'm thinking about what happens to me on social media. If you follow me on social media, I tend to offend people with my certain views about religion and the Bible.
The people who wrote the Bible, you offend them?
Oh, yeah.
Now, you would think
telling you, John the Apostle, he's constantly texting me going, dude, you're misrepresenting me. That's out of context.
Now, you would think that the direction of this conversation is he offended my mother because she believes in the Bible. Totally opposite. My mother, I am agnostic just in case.
Just in case. Which is this whole thing that I got to hear the whole backstory about how Patty first learned that about her mom.
I didn't know. I was almost 20 years old when I found out my mother thought differently about religion and God. No,
right.
I
But this is because you were Mormon.
And she wasn't. Like, here's the thing. Like, she went off and did other things, like changed her mind, but never told me it was a lot.
I know, you update people on your psychic address, right? You're like, my psychic address has changed.
Yeah.
I'm now agnostic, just so you know.
Well, it all started because your Griffin, sweet, sweet child that he is, was talking about how his religion teacher wouldn't even let him use the word hell in context. Mm-hmm. And Griffin, you said before, he doesn't like using swear words.
Oh, see, neither should you.
I'm Don Norton on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Thank you, Don Norton. It was a pleasure to work with you briefly.
And you as well, Patty.
Have a great new year, and I hope to see you again soon.
Great show. Thank you.
Thank you. You are listening Pretty Late, and one of our favorites, one of our first musicians, I believe, that we ever had on the show, actually, is in studio with us right now. We're past, I think, 10 appearances with Tess Considine. And she has some wonderful news to share with us. She's heading back to school next week. Right now, here she is performing Speak to Me.
You're the sun, you're my love. The moon is fading by your light. An angel stands beyond my reach. Speak to me, my darling. Speak to me, my darling. As I look up to heaven's light, your two eyes do shine so bright. I stand in the light, too far to touch. Speak to me, my darling. Speak to me, my darling. Speak to me, speak to me. Speak to me, speak to me. Speak to me, speak to me, my darling.
Thank you.
Ah, Tess Constantine, speak to me. Joining us, you've met Daphne Scott, who's a regular on the show, as is Elliot Serrano. And really, it's there's a moment that you take, you know, because usually you have your guitar and you kind of set up, and that's the first time I think you've had a cappella on our show.
Yeah, I think so.
Is that a kind of a moment where you go, okay, I'm going to do this differently?
Yeah.
And I think but you often do that to challenge yourself. I've noticed that you have performed a song that you had never performed anywhere else on our show.
Yeah.
For the first time, I think you like doing. I don't remember ever wanting to do that. I don't think I like doing that now.
I don't know. I think it's just I think for me at least, it's just like, I like to have surprises, and I think for me, it gives me more motivation mm-hmm. and more energy when I perform. If I like yeah. do something fresh that like no one's heard, so that's why I like for each show. Obviously, I can't do a new set list with like new songs, and I want to play other songs that people have heard before, whether covers or songs that that are mine that I've done a few years ago. But I think to liven it up, always having something new around the corner.
But it also builds your adrenaline, which brings yeah. something to the performance.
Yeah, for sure.
Right? It keeps you excited.
Yeah.
And if you know that the audience is hearing something for the first time. Now, Daphne has also been a performer. Elliot does a lot of public speaking and a lot of performing as well. You know, we all come to it a little bit differently. Because you've been performing for a long time. Do you remember the first time you went, I'm gonna challenge myself? And, you know, and it's not that you want to dazzle them. You just know how you want to sort of present yourself.
Yeah. I would say, I mean, when I started getting into singing and all of that, I remember when I would go to concerts, I wouldn't just go to, like, listen to the music, but I would look at the performers and see how they perform. And, I mean, I'm not the type that would go up and, like, start doing dance moves because I would look ridiculous. But at the same time, you want to do stuff that you wouldn't be normally comfortable with, because that's what's engaging, that's what's interesting, and gets the audience going. And I think for yourself, too. I think if I just, like, stood still the whole time, frozen. So I want to just, I think when you're performing, it's not always necessarily overthinking about what you're going to do
right.
that is better. Because if you overthink it, then you're going to freeze, and then you're going to mess something up or, yeah.
Well, now that you're at Interlochen, what aspects are you sort of, like, that you didn't think of before that you're being exposed to in performing as a musician?
Eye contact. Because I think I do this on radio and just in general. I close my eyes a lot when I sing. I think it's to focus. But at the same time, there's a, without scaring like a certain member of the audience by looking at them too long, like it's kind of like knowing how to like look at the audience and look at individuals without like staring at someone for too long.
So did you have one instructor that said it's important to make eye contact, or they're telling you to work on that, to have that as a tool and then do whatever you need to later, I think is probably the better way to go. Somewhere in the middle, strike a balance.
They've made tips about it because I think for me, in the past, I've either closed my eyes a lot and not like looked out into like at the people. I don't realize this is just a bad habit, or I would look up at the ceiling a lot, as if I'm like, and it looks like I forgot the lyrics, but I don't. I think I'm just because I'm nervous.
But Daphne, isn't that tapping into a part of your brain that is also visualizing?
Yeah, it is. So we tend to go up and over a lot of times.
Right.
But I can see why, though. You know, at some point, you want to have some contact with your audience. Also, when you're on stage, though, it's also very difficult because the lights are so blinding.
Yeah.
Anyway, I mean, you're best looking at the first, you know, row at best.
So,
right?
So the thing I do, and it's not that I'm trying to trick anybody, but I look out.
Yes.
And I remember when I was in the audience. So when you go to see performers, musicians, and look at different aspects that maybe other people weren't looking at. I went to go see Sunday in the Park with George at the Goodman Theater, and I was convinced that there was an actor like looking. I felt like a star because I felt like the performer was looking at me. And I'll never know, but you know, I think that performers like lock into a certain part of the audience to sort of connect. But it doesn't necessarily have to be, because sometimes you'll make eye contact with somebody who is not impressed, and that will throw you off too.
Yes.
I actually watched, I saw Amy Schumer, I think I was telling you, Patty, Christmas Eve, and there was some woman that was sitting right in the front row, and it was a very small theater, and she had her arms crossed, and Amy Schumer at one point just sort of goes, you know, the vibe I'm getting you from you right now is really like killing my buzz. Like, you need to, like, can you just like engage with me for a second? Like, it was It was brilliant, actually. It was brilliantly. I don't know if the woman was really that annoyed with her or not, but it was really brilliant to watch that. It was really something.
Ellie,
it was interesting.
Well, it's interesting when a comic and a performer locks into the one person that seems to not be into it as much.
Which, yeah.
Can be.
Distracting.
Yeah, but for the, I mean, because the rest of the audience, that's just one person.
Correct.
And everybody else is having a good time. And we're locked into that one person that's not, will throw you off,
too.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't let that, because they may, that may just be their personality.
Right.
Like Griffin told me the other day, like, he doesn't laugh out loud. It never occurred to me. Like, he'll decide something's funny and be like, well, I'm just not a laugh out loud kind of person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm like, whose son are you? Where did you come from? But then I realized, like, Steve's not a big, he's not a gregarious type either. He's kind of a silent, you know? Ellie, do you ever have that when you're performing or doing public speaking where you lock into that one person?
No, Tessa's right. No, there are times when it's been the two-way thing. One, when you can be looking at somebody and that can throw you off a bit. Like you said, people don't seem engaged, or some people seem really engaged.
Yes, you don't make them uncomfortable.
Right.
Yeah.
And then I've had that bit when I'm in the audience and then the performer looks right at me, or it feels like they're looking right at me, and I'm like, okay, I need to be in my best behavior right now.
Yes.
Because they're looking at me. They notice me.
Yeah,
you know,
which can be a cool moment.
Could be.
It's weird. Yes. Live performing is...
I think also for me, this sounds weird, but when I've had opportunities to play at like bigger concerts, for me, the more nerve-wracking concerts are like the small acoustic sets, which I play a lot like at Uncommon, and I love them because I can like talk to the audience afterwards and all that. But at the same time, when I perform, I'm actually way more nervous than if I play for 100 or 200 people, because they're more of like a mob or like a little group.
Yes.
And I can't see them. They kind of just black out. But then with the close groups, like they're sometimes like they're right by me because there's no stage. And so their faces are right there. And it's just...
Do you feel like when it's a bigger audience that you can be more almost expansive with your performance, right? You kind of have to contract. You have to match almost the energy of the room. Otherwise, it feels superficial, right?
Yes.
So you have to strike that balance too.
Yeah.
That's fun.
It is exciting. Yeah. And I just know that you have instructors that are telling you, you know, take all of that in and then find what works for you. You know that. I think you're already there, but, you know.
Thanks.
Just smile and nod and go, teach. I'll do that. When we come back, we'll have another song from Tess Considine. You're listening pretty late. We're hanging out with Daphne Scott, Elliot Serrano. Craig Collins is in the producer's booth, and we also have Roger Badish hanging out with us. Hey, Roger, good to see you tonight as well. More after this on 720 WGN. Joining us live in the Allstate Showcase studio, we have Tess Considine, who is performing right now, Elastic Heart.
And another one bites the dust. Why can I not conquer love? And I can't be the one. Why not fight this war without weapons? In a world need one everything, but there were so many red flags. And another one bites the dust. Let's be clear, I trust no one. You did not break me. I'm still fighting for this. Skin and an elastic heart. Oh, but your blades, they might be too. I'm like a rubber band until you pull too hard. Oh, and I might snap and it be too close. You will never know more. I've got an elastic heart. I've got an elastic heart, 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 got an elastic heart.
There was a moment, and I yeah, we were like, oh, I mean, your heart just melts.
Yeah.
Because that was really wonderful. So. Tess Constantine. Really beautiful. You know, we started inviting you on the show. Nick DeGrazia from Bitter Gesture, Battle of the Bands, brought you in for, because you were one of the first women he had that signed up for that competition. Mm-hmm. And so we've had the pleasure of having you on since you were 15.
Yeah.
And you are now a junior at Interlochen.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's sort of strange because there's so many things I want to ask you about, you know, going away to school, what that adventure has been like. I mean, you know, kind of leaving, because you were already feeling things so intensely. This is something we talked about from the very first time you've been on the show. So when you go into a new environment as somebody who feels things intensely, what was that transition like?
It was
because you were excited, it seems. Yeah.
You're like, it was speechless.
I was first, like, overwhelmed, and not in the sense of I love my parents, but not in the sense of homesickness, because I think the thing is there, I actually don't feel as intense as I do here because everyone else is so much like me that I feel so much more calm.
You're the odd person out when you feel things intensely.
Yeah.
And it makes you anxious.
And then everyone else is like, it's like I'm... And in some ways, I really like it because I think there's two ways. When I went in there, I was really stressed because either it could be a huge competitive school, everyone like just like fighting for spots, different because like, everyone's the majority of the people there want to be professional musicians, actors, dancers, some kind of performer. But for me, I really like it because it's kind of like everyone kind of understands what I'm feeling or going through or what I want to do, because at my old school the majority of people didn't want to do what I like. There were people that were interested in performing in a sense of musical theater, but no one, I didn't know anyone my age besides at Bitter Gesture for the Battle of the Bands that wanted to be a songwriter, or I didn't really know that there are people my age that were singer songwriters. I mean, probably, but not that I knew personally.
Right You met Ava Sapelsa, was that through Bitter Gesture?
And she actually went to my school, North Shore, so I've heard of her through there. But yeah, I think the weird part was at the beginning it was hard for me to write songs, because I think when you go to a place it takes a while to adjust, and then so it took me a few weeks to start
few
writing
weeks.
Songs.
I was a freshman in high school. I'm like sophomore year, junior, I'm like, oh, now I get it.
No, I mean, like, it took me a few years being there to really get my feet under me.
I've just figured out sophomore year. No, that's so a few weeks of kind of like, well, you know, because you, like you said, you knew you wanted to be there. You knew what you wanted to get out of it, too, going into it. Yeah, I can't even imagine, because my son is not as, because that's a very adventurous step to take. You've got to, it's a lot of confidence that has to be behind that. Yeah. I mean, are there people there that you feel like are there because their parents wanted to be there, or do you think everyone really came there as their own drive?
Both.
Interesting.
There are people that are there where they had to convince their parents for weeks to, like, make them go there because, A, they're going away, and, B, it can be very expensive. I mean, there are scholarships and all, but and some people also, their parents don't support them in the sense of being an artist because it's just not – practical.
It's like Hogwarts.
yeah, exactly. Over again.
You'll never make any money doing what you love, ever.
But there are also people there, especially a lot of classical people I know too. There are people there that are self-driven, but there are people that, where their parents are like, you will go to be a violinist and you're going to be great, and like a lot of stress on that.
Right.
Especially with classical music, because at least for, I think the singer-songwriters, we have a reputation of being, we're serious, but we're probably the most friendly towards one another, or like not that much drama because we're all doing individual music.
Right.
So like we're all like still want to be performers, so there's still competition, and with college and all, but everyone has their own genre, their own type of music, their own self-expression, versus classical music where you're fighting for the first chair. Like everyone's playing the music precisely
different.
Well, how does it affect your songwriting? Whereas in high school, when you were on the North Shore, you were you know, trying to find your own time, making your own time to do that. Now it's part of your curriculum, right?
Yeah, I think I'm way more driven by being in a community where everyone's doing it, but I'm also not just doing it for the assignment. Like, right. I'm writing songs that are not just, like, assignment songs, and a lot of times those songs I prefer. I mean, the assignment songs help me, especially. A lot of them are group songs. You're working with four people, two people, just one person, and there's times when... like, I have a good friend, Grace, and the reason why we're good friends is because we had to write a song together, and we just really molded, like, well, but at the same time, I worked with another person, and we didn't get along, but we couldn't come up with anything together, so it right. just depends on, like, the personality.
And the chemistry.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And I think by being here at Interlochen, I realized how much songwriting is not an individual thing. It's very much communal, and the majority of songs we hear today, actually probably... most of them, or not all, are written maybe by one person, but in general written by multiple people, mm-hmm. or at least, like, approved by another person.
Or
tweaked.
You float something. Right. Feedback. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Because you have to put something out there sometimes, because it's hard to see something from the inside.
Right.
Yeah. Otherwise, it's in a vacuum.
It's very subjective, too.
Do you know what you want to do over the summer in between your semesters?
Oh, yeah. Actually, I just got into the Grammy Camp program, which is...
Of course she did.
Yeah. Well, I applied for songwriting and for music business. I got in for music business, which I'm actually... I'm quite surprised because I don't have that much background, but I kind of made in my interview on... how important it is, because at Interlochen I'm getting so much of, like, a background in songwriting, performance, but I'm not learning that much about the music business side, and whether or not I want to go into music business, whether a backup after being, like, an artist or a songwriter, or also as an artist, it's good to know everything so that
absolutely.
No one screws you over, and, like, you just have
absolutely.
A better sense.
Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about at all.
You are the brand, right? So if you don't right. understand how to manage your business,
you
like that.
You have to know what the manager's, like, the manager, totally. The booker.
And where's the Grammy Camp?
It's in Los Angeles, so I'll be staying at USC, like, in the dorms for, like, a week or so.
If I'm out there, I'll make sure to go out for lunch or something, if you have time.
Oh, yeah,
if you're at camp.
Of course. Yeah, that'd
be
so much
fun. Okay, so you had some news for us. You have a single out.
Yes,
that you
I do.
Release, and where can we find that?
Warm Hands is available on iTunes, Spotify, CD Baby, and then also I released a video on YouTube, and it's a part of a three-part series, so that was the fall one, and then if you wait till the end, you'll see something at the end. It's kind of a little hook, and then there's gonna be two more videos that go along with it.
And will you play that song for us now?
Yeah, sure.
Here's Tess Considine. She's released it again. You heard it's on iTunes, on Spotify, mm-hmm. CD Baby, and you can go to youtube.com to see the video. Here's Tess mm-hmm. Considine with Warm Hands.
My back in summertime, warm hands be my iron. Don't grow cold when winter cries. Fingers intertwined, stretching miles wide. Borders only lines, broke them. Fingers intertwined, stretching miles wide. Borders only lines, broke them in time. Time, broke them. Warm hands be my iron. Your touch lingering, my pale skin's tingling. Warm hands be my iron. You don't burn me,
Pain gets me every time. Fingers intertwined, stretching miles wide. Borders only lines. Broke them, fingers intertwined, stretching miles wide. Borders only lines. Broke them in time, 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 time.
Thank you. Jess Constantine. Find her on Facebook and Instagram. Tell us about all your accounts so we can find
Yes. Tess Considine, TessConsidine. That's for Instagram and Facebook. And Twitter, it's the same thing, but just add a one.
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 And find her music on YouTube. That song, Warm Hands, is there, as well as on Spotify, iTunes, CD Baby. And we look forward to having you back. I don't know.
Thanks.
Spring break, maybe?
Yeah.
We'll figure that out.
I'll figure it out. You know, planning all
you
that stuff.
You just email me and Craig. Yeah. Take care of that. Tess, be well. we wish you
so
all
much.
The best. Happy New Year.
Thank you.
No resolutions for you. It's too early. Nope. No,
I have one.
What is it?
To work out more, and you know why?
Why?
It sounds pretty cliche, but so I did a half marathon last spring, which was very surprising. And it's kind of gone downhill by being at an art school. And let's say I haven't worked out like,
were there any stairwells?
Since. Oh, stairwells, yeah, to my dorm room.
Do you stairwells?
Yeah, that's a good idea.
And also, there are videos on YouTube called Fit Blender. You can just do them in your room. Fit Blender has anything from 5 minutes to an hour and a half of workouts. And yes, Craig?
Well, pro tip, if you do the stairwells, bring a pizza.
Bring a pizza. Slice of pizza. Always the good pro tip from Craig Collins.
Good tip.
As well.
Thank you.
And you know what? That's I understand that.
Yeah.
You can come do this. Next time you're here, we'll do the stairwells.
Cool.
All right, then. Yeah. Tess Constantine, always a pleasure. And your family, always great to see you guys, too. And bringing friends. Yay. Yeah.
The words you say, send them my woes.
That's more Tess Constantine, and she was trying to remember which song. She's done so many. She's written so many. She's like, that's Shatem. And we thank Tess so much for joining us once again. Brand new to the studio, joining our regular guests, we have Dr. Daphne Scott and Elliot Serrano. Elliot is our chief geek officer from geektome.net. Daphne Scott is Dr. Daphne Scott, who is actually a veteran of Sketchfest, has performed with the Comic Thread in the past. Other groups or the Comic Thread?
No, Comic Thread.
Comic Thread. And joining us right now is Robin Trevino from Gay Crow. Now, do you have another last name? I don't want to miss any last names.
My stage name is Trevino. That's how you know me.
Yes, I do.
Robin Trevino. But I got married and my name is... Delgado.
Delgado.
Legally.
Rob, so you don't go out by that. Come closer to my microphone. That's why I'm moving around there. Robin and I went to UIC together. I was a grad student when he was an undergrad. And we did all scripted stuff out there, obviously. I never did any sketch classes. It was amazing.
No.
Dexter Bullard is one of my favorite people on the planet.
I was just talking about him the other day.
Have you come across him at all?
I haven't. My ex-boyfriend, who I was dating while I was at UIC, he had him at DePaul, and we were just hanging out the other day and talking about him.
Yeah, no, Dexter Bullard.
Amazing.
Well, he directed one of the original versions of Killer Joe that was in Chicago that ended up going to Off-Broadway and became a big, obviously, theatrical success, and then went on to become a motion picture with Matthew McConaughey. I don't know if you've ever seen that.
I don't know. I never even heard that.
You never heard of Killer Joe? Dexter?
No.
He was the director of the Chicago version of that. Oh. But that was a thing. At UIC, we learned a lot of movement, voice. Did you do Tanner Marshall's class?
I worked with Tanara on shows, but for voice, I had Cynthia Blaze.
Oh, I did not have Cynthia.
She's actually Keegan-Michael Key's wife.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, so he came in one day before, like, he was famous and, and taught us a little bit about voice.
UIC had this very, it was kind of this cool program where it was, you know, not like, you know, you have DePaul in town, you have Northwestern, but UIC was like the scrappy theater group that could, right? Although we had a lot of drama. There was an instructor.
Because you were a theater group?
Well, yes, but there was a, we had an instructor who I still to this day cannot, Cheryl Lynn Bruce, who I think is still working there. I have no problem outing people. My Clearly. Opinion is if you didn't want me to talk about you, you shouldn't have behaved that way.
That's how it
maybe,
rolls.
Maybe you ought not have done that. You know, I mean, I've done stuff that I was embarrassed by, but if people want to talk about that, that's their, you know, because I did a lot of crazy things when I was at UIC.
Sure,
we were all
sure,
experimenting.
We all did.
Did you guys hang out on the quad together?
No, there's no quad.
No
is there a quad at UIC?
I mean, there was that central area between all the lecture halls, I guess.
It's like there was that one spot where there was a picnic table.
I guess. I walked
we
through
We
can't
it. All stand around there sometimes.
The theater kids mostly just stayed in the green room.
Yeah. Yes, we did. And then she made us paint it. It had this great, the green room had sort of this like Chicago landscape that some other students had painted in the past.
Yeah.
And they had done like, it was sort of like basically like green room graffiti, but it was done artistically. And she got it in her, she got a bee in her bonnet or somewhere else. And decided that we, after the close of
Cage Rhythm, yeah.
Yeah, you were a guard.
Yeah, it was my first play.
And she decided that we should paint the entire room white. Just like a
white,
like yeah, just white. Just like an institutional white, like a nut room white.
Yeah. Because that would be fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then we all just wrote all over it. Like, we just did graffiti all over it.
You're begging for
it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right, you're begging for it.
In case you're wondering, I did not like the woman.
Oh, I was wondering. I was like, it sounded like you really got along well.
It was pretty clear back then, too.
That I did not. Yeah. Well, she gave another, I did not contest my grade, but I did go in and contest a grade for another student named Cooper.
Yes, you did.
I did go in with, I don't play. Like, if you think I just started being like this, like, I have never played.
No, I did not think that whatever we're defining as this, you said this, I did not think that started yesterday. Just so you know, I've taken it as that this has always been.
I've never played.
And I'm happy to see you haven't changed.
Yes, no. I went to the Capitol and told the governor I don't play. I don't play. But UIC was a really fun experience. I did not finish my. Well, we're going to talk about what my thesis was supposed to be at UIC. There was a play I was going to write about wasps. They were female pilots during World War II.
Oh my God!
That was
I thought you meant real wasps. Like,
no.
And I was like, wow, she was really going to write about
but
insects.
Instead, I decided to I wanted to get the experience. I didn't go to UIC to get a master's. I went to UIC to learn how to be in the theater because I was a stand-up comic who I thought I should be trained in the off chance that someday I might get a sitcom.
Yeah.
What a ridiculous idea.
That was so stupid.
Yeah, really.
But, you know, there were all these kids. They're 18 to 21, 22 years old. I was whatever age I was. Shut up. we don't have to get into that. I was older but could blend in.
Yeah, sure.
But it was an intense time. What kept you in theater? Because I think a lot of people kind of drop out. You know, they sort of fall by the wayside.
Good point. A lot of people that went through the program with us are not acting anymore. I mean, I went in with theater as my goal, and I actually ended up being a sixth year graduate because I began, and I told my advisor.
Was Cheryl Lynn Bruce one of your instructors for too long? Go ahead. Carry on.
She was my very first teacher of college, actually. But I went in and I was just like, all I want is acting training. And put me in beginners actors, and then second semester I took advanced acting and I took classics, and I wanted to get it all done in 2 years, not graduate, and then just break onto the Chicago theater scene. And then after 2 years, I was like, you know what? I put in the time. I should probably get my degree.
Right.
So I did. And, you know, I had to do a lot of backtracking for gen eds and stuff.
What were some of your, because we did Cage Rhythm. We did a lot. And then we would do sort of like the, our own, like, you know, whether we had a group, you know, I can't remember some of the productions that we did that were not main stage productions.
There was a group called the Chicago Circle Players.
Right.
That we did a lot of plays with them. And actually, after you left, we started producing full-length shows that would be done right alongside the main main stage shows.
Yeah, that's, and it's so smart because you're so limited by the main stage productions and who they would cast and who their favorites were.
It was a lot of classical theater.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of us wanted to do modern
They did Misanthrope, right?
Mm-hmm.
They did a cool version of that. But again, they had their favorites. We won't say who they were. But there were people who were favorites. Mm-hmm. And that's fine.
That would get casted.
That would get cast in the leads.
Yeah.
And, sure. And then there were these, a lot of great, I remember for Cage Rhythm, there were people who were upset. The reason I got in the role was because I did an accent. It was a Latina who is in the, sort of like in the break room. We were in prison.
You can do a Latina accent, really?
I know, it's so surprising. I just said my mom got the part.
That's so weird.
but I mean, like, you can, there are ways to, there are ways you can learn how to game an audition.
Sure.
There just are.
I wasn't very talented. It was my very first show. And I think I just got it because I was very sweet to Cheryl.
We'll talk more about Cheryl off the air. It was a pretty intense production. Like, we did 2 days of like 8 to 10 hour techs. And we had to do, because there were 19 scene changes, and she would make everybody in the scene had to move all of the furniture. If there were like benches, if there was a bunk bed, if there were fences,
a giant cage.
Yeah, it was. And we also had to do stage combat without any stage combat training.
And that's always a good idea.
Being the victim of the stage combat, like, I was...
I just lost an eye in that last scene. I don't know if I can go on. Do I have to play the same character? Because now my character's missing an eyeball.
Yeah, it's pretty much how it felt.
Yeah, that's intense.
I hold no ill will.
No, it doesn't seem like you. You have gotten past it.
It sounds like you had an amazing time. It was a really growth experience.
It's only been 17 years.
Stop it. The next production that we did, though, was unbelievable. We did a thing called For You Blues, which was a beautiful... Luigi Salerni did this beautiful production of this play, and we built a 3-story boarding house that was just stunning.
Sets that Carl Ulasic built were amazing.
We had a working stove. I was the owner of the boarding house, and I would be cutting like carrots and onions and making a stew so you could smell it, because Luigi's idea was that. And I,
that's so brilliant.
I also played on alternating nights. I played a different character who I shared that role with Jacob.
Jacob Martin.
Yeah, he would play a cross dressing. I don't know what we decided on, if he was transgender, or we never addressed.
I always thought that he was a woman.
He was a woman.
That he was just playing a woman. Yeah.
I don't know. He just was.
Yeah.
He just embodied the role. So we smoked Pall Malls. We would have.
Oh my god! On stage.
On stage, and during one of our rehearsals, we also had this big chest, open traveling chest behind us with like clothes coming out of it, and there happened to be a boa hanging over the edge. So I'm sitting there smoking. Just flames. I'm like, and I was perched on that. Remember that was like, it was a slanted floor. I'm like screaming, trying not to fall off of this third story. Maybe I shouldn't be talking too much about you.
No,
did you guys have a chair hanging from the ceiling for that show?
No, Misanthrope had a swing. Do you remember
they had a swing. We one of Luigi's shows, it was called Indulgences in the Louisville Harem. And it was this great, it was a slanted stage again, and he just had a chair hanging from the ceiling for no reason.
Of course he did, for no reason, just randomly.
And all of the, like, there's a theater 109 class where you didn't have to be theater to take it, and everyone's paper was about
the hanging chair,
and there was no reason. I don't know why he did it. It was so weird.
I so adore him.
And he came to us, and he was like, the reason I did it is so that they would do that. So that they would wonder.
Oh.
Exactly. And that's what they took away from the experience.
Well, because he always wanted to make the experience this much more. We had a barrel that was supposed to be like a rain barrel on the stage, where at one point one of the characters has to get it and like basically baptize themselves.
Yeah.
During the scene. And I had to do that. Oh my, that was one of the most startling things I've ever done, because I was dressed in a slip and I get into the barrel and I dunk down, you know, whatever, and I come back up and I have to walk up the stairs. So in a see-through slip.
Oh, wow.
And one night, and I was however old, and and I'm walking up the stairs and I hear this from the audience. Damn!
Oh my lord!
And it was hard to keep.
You're like, what?
What? What? Is there something? Is there something stuck on my?
What?
It was a UIC. Now, have you gone back at all as an alum?
I thought I would be back all the time. I went and saw one show after I graduated. And, you know, Bill Riffeld and Carl, they've come to my wedding. They've come to see me in a whole bunch of plays.
I love Carl.
Bill actually threw my wedding shower. Mm-hmm. It was a really great experience. But no, I haven't gone back to the theater to see any shows or hang out or
none
anything.
Of the shows. I thought I would too a little. Well, I just disappeared from the program. I didn't go back.
You just stopped showing up.
I got all my credits. I just didn't finish. I was all but thesis, ABT.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
Yeah. I guess,
wants to do that anyway.
Well, it was supposed to be this
especially
play
when it's on WASPs.
Okay. So here's the thing. Go to my Facebook page. You'll understand why this is important. But okay. What's important right now is Robin Trevino is performing with Gay Co. at the Sketch Fest. What night are you guys performing?
We're going Saturday at 6 p.m. in the Thrust Theater.
So you are on the 9th.
Yes, Saturday the 9th.
Saturday the 9th at Thrust at 6 p.m. And people can go to stage773.com. All the information for Sketchfest is there. So Gayco has been on our show before. And and I've learned a little bit about they told me a little bit about the process. How would you say it is to work with your performers, fellow performers?
Oh,
creating this.
It's a wonderful experience. And Gayco it's a 20-year-old company. Actually, 2016 is our 20th year. We're having a big anniversary in October. And the company's definitely gone through an evolution, as you know, homosexuals have gone through an evolution.
Daphne, have you noticed that at all?
I don't know if I've evolved as a homosexual.
Well, I mean,
am I still
culturally
gay?
I think last year seemed there something happened in 2015.
I know, it's so weird. It's like, oh, now I have
one
to get
big
married
thing.
Yeah.
Oh, I got married way before it was cool.
Yeah, I did too.
When the people were like, we don't recognize your marriage.
I actually had my ceremony on the UIC stage before it was legal here. And then we went to Iowa just to pick up a certificate and I got my name changed and all that good stuff.
So with the 20th anniversary coming up, because as you mentioned, there's been this evolution of, you know, the perception of homosexuality, I guess. How acceptable? I don't know what. Mm-hmm. I don't know what conversation I'm having.
The whole philosophy of Gayco doing comedy is that gay is always the given, never the punchline.
Yes.
And in the beginning, in 1996, when the company started at Second City, it was more of sort of like a beacon where homosexuals were drawn in. They came to the shows. A lot of people met their partners there, and everything that they were doing was brand new. And hadn't been talked about in that way. Usually if you saw gays in comedy, they were the butt of the joke or like, oh, I'm not gay. That was right. What people laughed about. And so it was sort of groundbreaking. And now as gays find more acceptance, we've sort of reached this moment where we're like, are we still a relevant company? And how do we find comedy in that now that there's gay comedy everywhere? There was Will and Grace and there was The New Normal, all these shows that are gay themed. And so that's where we are right now. And actually, for the show that we're doing, it's called 50 States of Gay, which obviously was like 50 Shades of Grey.
Right.
50 States of Gay because we just got marriage in the whole country. We did a run of it in the fall where we picked a new state each week, and we picked Indiana. did
that's
you
a
hear
weird
about
choice.
This?
No, I've always wanted to have pizza in Indiana.
Well, pizza was the theme of my bit because there were seven people in the cast and we each had to come up with a bit about the state, and mine I decided to go to Memory's Pizza. Which do you
yes,
remember?
That's, no, that's why I mentioned the pizza.
Yeah,
would not.
They would not serve
because that's what homosexuals want at their wedding is pizza.
Yeah, can't hammering
it
first
it.
Thought.
I know that's a joke, but I had pizza at my wedding.
You're not. You know what that means? You're not really gay.
Not
that means I'm absolutely gay and I love
gay.
Food.
lots of cheese.
For my bit, I drove out to Walkerton, Indiana, and I filmed myself the whole way and put it on YouTube. And I went in. I ordered pizzas, I brought it back, and for the show that Saturday, I brought my husband up on stage, we renewed our vows, and we served pizza to the entire audience.
Aww.
And it was that pizza.
And it was that memories. Pizza, and I had, like, I spent the whole show reheating
did you get
it.
Any, did you get any feedback from Memories that you had brought
yes. it? Yes. I mean, we were all over the news, they actually... They tried contacting Memories a bunch of times and didn't get through, and then they actually collected a statement from Memories, and they were like, well, and it was the owners who were made all the news before, and they were just like, well, you know, I don't, that wasn't catering. So I don't know what they were thought they were doing, but it was pretty silly. And I was like, well, yeah, it was for a comedy show.
Not any more silly than your pizza place being named Memories.
I know.
Thanks for the memories. Or not. More after this with Robin Trevino, who is performing with Gayco at Sketchfest on January 9th at the Thrust Theater. Their performance is at 6 p.m. And you can go to stage773.com for information about all the tickets. And Elliot's on Facebook. He's checking. He's fact checking everything that we're talking about right now. Dr. Daphne Scott, you know, hanging out with us.
Yeah, just hanging positive. Out.
We're going to keep Robin. Do you mind staying a little bit longer after one?
Not at all.
Because we're going to play What's in the Box after 1 a.m.
Okay.
Have you heard of our game, What's
I
in the Box?
I have not.
I kind of think Robin's going to enjoy What's in the Box. More after, or maybe not. More after this on 720 WG, and it's pretty late. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. Joining me is our Chief Geek Officer, Elliot Serrano, who has been patiently waiting for us to play What's in the Box. Hey, Elliot, how you doing?
I'm doing well. Just chilling out, having this wine and chocolate-covered almond. So, hey, don't worry about me.
I apologize to Robin that I think we're out of wine.
Oh, I have juice, so I'm fine.
You're fine.
I had a little bit too much to drink last night.
Oh, anyway. Did you for New Year's Eve?
Yeah.
You did the just the generic gonna get drunk on. I decided to pull back. Mm-hmm. I went to a neighborhood bar. Let's call it not the place that Elliot and I went to the other day. And I ordered a bourbon. And then someone sat down and ordered me another one. And I was like, you know what? That's going to be it for me for the New Year's Eve because I felt that it could be a long night. What did you indulge in?
I actually, well, we, you know, it's so rare that we get to drink. We have a 1.5-year-old and we sent her to the suburbs.
with somebody, right? Not like.
No, just to fend for herself.
She's an Uber. She's just wandering around the suburbs.
She was in a field somewhere.
But
actually all through college, since we're talking about college, I used to just drink SoCo from a bottle. And obviously I stopped doing that around age 26.
I'm trying to remember if we, because I used to like SoCo with cranberry juice, but I don't remember.
I just drank
sharing
it straight.
That with you. And, you probably didn't share with me.
That's
right.
What I did last night.
Okay,
so
then. Still SoCo?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Straight up SoCo, and it was a bad idea at my age, whatever the age that may be.
Exactly. Oh, good. We're in the same boat. We're in the same boat, and I don't know why you had to mention numbers before. That was just wrong. So a little bit rough getting up today?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was pretty rough.
Well, I find that it is hard. As you get older, you know you have to pace. Daphne, do you? You don't. Oh, look at that.
Yeah, there you go.
We won't know.
You're not even going to
how you handle your boozing nights.
Not well. I'm not a drinker.
No.
Well, you know this about me.
We're sippers now.
Yeah, I don't. I'm not a big drinker. When I do, it goes always badly. Mm-hmm. And I've just it takes me like a day. If I do that, it takes me a full day to recover. And I just don't have that kind of time to devote to A, being miserable, and B, just trying to recover.
What's your go-to on a bad day like that, though? Because mine's Pepto-Bismol and mashed potatoes.
I do lots of water, and I always want something greasy. I can tell you about a horrible time, which I won't do now, when I decided that having some panda and tomato juice was a really good idea before getting on a flight to Colorado.
Oh,
so you can figure out what happened.
The poor passengers on your flight, yeah. Well, I have some good news for our listeners that are fans of the game What's in the Box. And for those of you who maybe don't know What's in the Box, you want to give us a call. It's a game that we play every Friday, and it's our first one of 2016. 312-981-7200. Our contestants win either way. We have a gift card from Apt Electronics, and we have a gift card from Lou Malnati's. The winner chooses which one they want, and our second place gets the leftover, which either way, it's a win-win.
You have to call in if you're listening, you have to.
Yeah.
You just
so
have to.
If you don't know what the game is, that makes it a little more fun for us.
Totally.
It's a little harmless fun. Roger Badish will also be participating. He has culled his own material for this game, and I will be handing out sheets of paper to my guests in the studio. So 312-981-7200. It is time to play What's in the Box, except first, it's actually time for the news.
Little boxes on the hillside, little boxes made of ticky-tacky, little boxes on the hillside, little boxes all the same. There's a green one and a pink one and a blue one and a yellow one, and they're all made out of ticky-tacky and they all look just the same.
Oh. You're listening Pretty Late, and that music means it's time to play What's in the Box. Roger, have you kind of missed playing What's in the Box?
I have. In fact, I didn't even know what today was. I didn't even know who you were at first.
I know, it's
serious.
Weird.
You have been gone so long, and I've missed you so much.
Oh, thank you, Roger. But it has been a lot of great, there have been a lot of great fill-in hosts. I want to thank Hannah Stanley and Mark Harmon and Sam Penianovich. And I know Dane is coming in a little bit. He's actually filling in for John Hansen, who can't come in tonight. He's not feeling well. That's why I love Facebook. I can find out what our schedule is. But a lot of Amy Guth, and I've heard a lot of great things. People have said, you know, not that there was anything wrong with the fill-ins. Miss you, and I missed our listeners as well. So I'm excited to be back. If you've never heard us play What's in the Box, this may be a little bit of a something you're not expecting at 1 o'clock in the morning in 2016. Our friend Robert Trevino, who's in the studio, has never heard us play. Let's see if our listener Michael has ever heard us play. Hey, Michael, have you ever heard us play What's in the Box?
I have not.
Where are you calling from?
I live in like the Ravenswood area.
Okay, I was wondering from the area code on your call, because I have caller ID. I wasn't sure what that area code was. What is that? What's that area code? That's not Ravenswood.
No, it's Ohio.
Oh, okay. That would be why I didn't recognize it. All right, 1 second. Let me see if our other contestant. We have Michael from Ravenswood, originally from Ohio. We also have Jim on the line. Hi, Jim. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm very well. Where are you calling from?
I'm actually calling from Cedar Rapids, Iowa.
Well, there you go.
There you go.
Is that where the Sullivan's venue is, or is that Cedar Falls?
I think that's Cedar Falls.
Okay, Cedar Falls and Cedar Rapids, I always get confused, and I always feel bad. You don't want to mess that up when you're there, and they're not that far away from each other.
They're not. That's why you're getting mixed up.
No.
No. Do you get upset when people confuse the two?
You know, I'm originally from Schaumburg, so I don't care.
I love that.
That's awesome.
I love that. Okay, this is great. So, Jim, have you ever heard us play What's in the Box?
No, I have not.
All right. So, Michael and Jim, I'll explain this to you.
Two versions.
Two box versions. So, I don't know how much time you spend shopping online. I spend a lot. I buy a lot of things from, let's say, a website. Let's call it Amazon.
Let's say that's what it's
called.
That's
what it's called. And I was struck one night as I was searching for something. I didn't want to go to a store to buy it, and I decided to go online. As it turned out, there were a lot of reviews for the particular item I was shopping for, and I was surprised at the in-depth reviews. But basically, on Amazon, people will review anything from fish bowls to adult toys to galoshes and sweaters. And if you heard adult toys in there, you're accurate. That's what I was shopping for that night. And the game that we came up with between myself, our producer Craig Collins, Todd Manley, Charles, who's a regular on our show.
Yeah, sure.
We came up with a game called What's in the Box, where we will read a review for you. And your task is to tell us if you think that review is for a toy, an adult toy. You don't have to say that, just toy or an appliance. So does that make sense?
Yeah.
All right.
So it's toy or appliance?
Toy or appliance are your responses to our reviews.
Okay.
And the first one to five wins. We have a gift card from Apt Electronics and a gift card from Lou Malnati's. Locations all over the Chicagoland area. Go to loumalnati's.com for more information. Michael, since you are our first caller, we're going to have you go first. And Roger Badish has culled his own reviews, and we're going to start with Roger.
It was tough putting them together. I was kind of out of shape.
Out of practice?
Yeah,
Well, and it's easy to get distracted by some of these. You're like, how do I edit around that word?
But still make it.
Yes.
Confusing.
Exactly. Yeah. Which you like doing.
Do I ever.
all right.
So here we go. Again, you either say toy or appliance. Okay.
Here we go.
All right. Mm-hmm. The control is absolutely a piece of garbage. After looking at it for a few and taking it apart to see what the issue was, I decided to replace it.
Michael, what do you think? Do you think someone would do that with their toy or with their appliance?
I think appliance is too easy, so I'm going to go toy.
Mm.
Oh, I like the way he analyzes this, because he's correct.
What?
Woo! Yes!
Try taking it apart. All right, Michael.
All right.
You have the first point, which means now Jim has to catch up. He's in Cedar Rapids. Elliot, will you please read for Jim?
All right, Jim, I've got one for you. Dr. Daphne dared me to read my review. In the voice of Jar Jar Binks.
I didn't just dare him. There's $50 in this for him if he pulls this
off.
So. Okay.
All right.
Here we go.
Ready?
I'm taking my mic off because I don't want to laugh too hard.
This thing is terrible. It gets really hot.
I think we need to
I think we need to hear that one more time.
We do. We need to hear it. Please play it. Right.
Move away a little from the mic.
Yeah, I'm gonna roll him down a little bit. Okay. Pull away from the mic a little bit. Pull out.
I was too loud. I got too into the
wall. I mean, pull away. There you go.
All right, ready?
This thing is terrible. It gets really hot.
What game are we playing? I don't know, but that just made my 2016. I'm going to call you and just have you read stuff to me in that voice.
Okay.
I'm going to have you show up at meetings I have to read. It's like, now Elliot will read you the next set of instructions.
Poor Jim. Jim, what do you think? Was that an appliance or a toy?
I think some toys are better when hot, so I'm going to go appliance.
I can't hear him. What did he say?
Oh, he said that he's going to go with appliance because he said some toys are better when they're hot.
Well, that would be correct, yes.
Wow!
It's an appliance?
Wow.
It's an appliance.
Excellent.
Wait a minute. I don't understand why that voice was the one that told him that was correct. It should have been the other voice.
Okay. Daphne, will you please read for Michael? The game is tied 1-1.
Yes, I'm going to read this exactly as written. I just want to be clear.
With punctuation?
Yep, absolutely.
Okay.
Right.
Excellent.
Took me a second to figure out all the buttons and such. It's great for a good price and easy to clean and store.
Holy.
There are a lot of exclamation
points. What's happening? It's all in caps. I see.
No, and it's all exclamation.
It's all exclamation points. Michael, I hope that you're okay.
Yeah, I had to pull my ear away from it.
Sorry, I'm
in the same room with her. I couldn't get far enough away. Okay.
That's like a Ron Burgundy thing.
All right. Michael, what do you think from all the yelling?
I'm going to go toy again.
Is that a toy?
That was so good. It's
wow.
toy.
Wow, you guys.
Toy.
Very good.
I kind of love the way.
Toys.
And appliances.
And appliances.
All right. Robin will be reading for Jim. Your choice here.
Okay, I'll pick one. Here we go. This is featherweight, and it does the job. Those heavy ones wear me out just lifting them.
See, you totally get this game. You do.
I think he enjoyed it way too much.
I enjoyed it more than you think.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay.
I hate to go for the obvious toy. I'm going to go appliance.
Yep, it's an appliance.
This is an amazing game. This is my favorite game I think we've ever played, this version of this. Michael and Jim are such good sports. Before we take a break, I think Roger will read for Michael again.
Okay.
All right.
All right, here we go.
I love his own waiting music.
Oh, okay, here we go. While there are some design issues, this has all the powerful features we looked for.
Ooh,
we.
Ooh. It's a group effort.
That's hard because the we throws it off. So I don't want to say toy again, but I think I'm going to go toy again.
And you would be wrong.
What?
It's an appliance.
Oh, look, even Craig was disappointed.
Ooh. Oh, really?
That Wii was a little misleading, huh?
Yes, it was. See, it's not as easy as some people think, right, Patty, to find the stuff and just make it just right.
It never is.
Well, yeah.
After we have a winner, I'm going to read you the bonus one that I think I have here somewhere. Oh, I do. No, I don't have it in front of me. There's one that I have as like a gimme, but we'll do that. We're going to take a quick break here. Jim, Michael, can you hang on the line for a commercial break?
Yes.
Excellent. We appreciate that. You're doing a great job. I would say you are some of the best contestants we've had.
Yeah.
I love the way you analyze it. I love the way you are just, you're riding it hard. More after this on 720 WGN. There's a pink one and a green one and a blue one and a yellow one. And they're all made out of ticky-tacky and they all look just the same. They do. When you order something from Amazon, like every box looks the same with a smiley face, and it could have anything in the box. It could have your new teething ring for your baby, and it could have a hand mixer, or it could have a new pair of slippers, or it could have, you know, the things that I probably shouldn't put on that list that I should say out loud. You could have your adult toy. And that was one of the things that caught my attention in the last couple of years, that people will write reviews for anything. I'm impressed by that. I love the commitment to sitting down and writing out a review. Roger will attest to this. There are some very in-depth reviews.
Extremely. Some a little too technical.
Well, that's a nice way to put it. Technical. Some, yes, Elliot. Have you read any of the reviews? Oh, I showed you.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. No, the reviews are one thing, but the unboxing videos are the other.
Yeah,
thing.
I actually made a purchase one time because of the unboxing. It wasn't that good. So, Michael and Jim are our contestants. They are tasked with telling us whether they think a review that we read for them is for an appliance or for a toy. The game is tied at 2-2. Which implied the tide. Michael was read to last by Roger Badish. It is time for Elliot to read to Jim.
All right, hello, Jim.
Yeah.
Okay, just make sure. I did a Charger last time. This time we're getting Yoda. All right.
Oh, you're getting Yoda for Yoda. This one. Yoda. Okay. All right. I don't know why I'm clearing my throat. Okay, Yoda. Everyone, because I'm getting ready for the laugh. Yes, sir.
Works like the info said it would. With a charging cord and instructions it came.
Did you get that? I broke up
a little. I did. I think I got that.
But did you want to get that? That's the other question.
I hate to say this. I'm going to go toy.
That is correct. Oh! Yes. That is a toy.
Wow, Jim pulls ahead. It's 3-2. It's time for Daphne to read for Michael.
Yes. Before Daphne does that, we did get a text from the 312, a little traffic update. Two people lost control last time Daphne read. So if she wants to be safe,
wow,
there might not be any more accidents. We're not sure.
Let's give them fair warning. Pull off to the side now. If you are listening, please pull off to the side of the road and put the car in park. Five, four, three, 2-1. Okay, go ahead.
All right. Very weak. Not nearly strong enough.
Oh.
I was very excited to get this product, but it doesn't work like I expected from the reviews.
Oh. That's so sad.
Yeah, really disappointing.
Really, really a bummer. I mean, really, really a bummer.
That's a bomb bad review.
Really, really a letdown. This whole thing.
Oh, dear. Michael, what do you think?
I can't go toy again, so I have to go appliance here.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's a toy.
Oh!
It was the most disappointing toy on the planet. You'd have been better off just going it alone.
You should have read it with that little puchin. It didn't
have
do
you, have
it.
Have you ever read the reviews for the Haribo gummy bears?
No.
No.
You need to read those.
All right,
those are the best reviews on Amazon, hands down.
The Haribo.
Haribo for gummy bears?
Haribo.
H-A-R-I-B-O-N-E.
For gummy bears. Read the reviews for gummy
bears. I like that we're getting assignments during.
Yeah,
your homework, should you decide to accept it.
Well, we are.
Free gummy bears are the best.
All right. We have we now have Jim, who is ahead by one. It's 3-2 game. Robin is reading for Jim. Oh, I'm sorry. Let me make sure this is working. There you go.
Okay, here I am.
Yes.
Here we go. It looks like it tried to melt the moment it got wet. Why would it do that?
Oh, no.
I'm sorry, Jim. We're not. Sometimes we have a little more fun. Yeah.
Are you sure we're not dealing with a third category here?
I don't even know what kind of appliance that would be. I'm going to go toy.
Yeah, that's a toy.
All right. I think the reviewer poses an excellent question. Why would it do that? That sounds horrible. All right. Well, we are at a 4-2 game here. Roger will be reading for Michael. I'm trying to catch up.
All right, Mike. Come on, man. You can do this. Come on. Here we go. Based on the assessment of some failed units, we made changes to the electrical board that should decrease the failure rate. Tried to sound like a company spokesperson.
What?
Yeah. Would you like it again?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, one more time.
All right. Based on the assessment of some failed units, we made changes to the electrical board that should decrease the failure rate.
Wow.
Appliance.
No.
Oh, my God.
That's a toy.
That's wrong. What? The motherboard?
The mother of all boards.
Are you sure it says failure rate?
Yep.
What is happening?
How do you assess the failure rate of a toy? What are we talking about here?
It doesn't work when you turn it on?
No, she's right. It seems subjective.
Is it the toy I'm talking about?
It's like,
can I use that argument in the future? Hold on. I think I was successful. You're being subjective right now. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, that's basically what I'm saying.
You are.
Elliot.
That's what I'm saying, my brother.
Elliot, are you worried about negative reviews? Is that what you're telling us?
The last thing I need is anyone looking at my Yelp reviews. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, hold on a second. Let me just read one of the gummy bear reviews. My life has drastically improved since this arrived. This is what Michael told me. Michael, will you tell me to read the gummy bear one?
Correct.
My bowels, however, are a different story. I think Roger is breaking.
Roger fell over. He's not even in his chair.
I was given an assignment by a listener.
Should someone go help him?
Yeah. How do we...
I think he needs CPR. Somebody needs to give him chest compressions.
Roger Manish has lost it.
I can't read you the rest of this review. Then.
Doesn't
There's
look
more
medically
to it
safe.
Than that? There's more?
Oh, God. I have a lot to say about this. Hey,
okay. I think that Michael has somehow tied the game this way, and we now are going to give you both prizes. You know what? It's our only night this week. I think I got, like, I know what I can do here. I'm going to give you each Apt Electronics and a Lou Malnati's card. Go to apt.com and loumalnati's.com for our locations all over the Chicagoland area. We've hurt Roger in the process of this game. We don't blame Michael.
No, yes. But I do want to know, Michael, how did you know about these gummy bear reviews? I think that's the question no one's asking here.
Yeah, some of my friends have taken those, but it was the reviews. They said, you know, if you read them, a lot of them you can't say on the air, you know. But
no, I can't say a lot of these things on the air.
They are absolutely hilarious.
I worked through this during a 7-hour sitting. I now have diabetes.
Why are people reviewing gummy bears?
That is the 5-pound bag of gummy bears, too, right?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I worked for these in a 7-hour sitting and now I have
Okay, you're both winners. Jim, I apologize that Michael seemed to have leapfrogged, so I make you both winners. Jim, Michael, thank you so much, and we look forward to hearing from you again.
You
have a wonderful
awesome.
New year. Thank you so much.
You
again, it's Apt Electronics and Lou Malnati's... and apparently gummy bears. Are you Roger? You scared us.
Sorry.
Like Craig didn't know what to do. There was like a lot of beating on the table. And I don't know if there are any devices that have been damaged. Roger, I didn't even read you. I'm going to read you the rest of that review.
No, please don't. No.
Off the air. I'm going to read it to you off the air.
No, I got to do the news.
Craig, did you say there's no more breaks until there's no breaks? Oh, okay. I won't read it to you until after the news.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Oh, man, you're never going to make it to the
Do you need
news.
A moment? Yeah, let's see.
I can read a review as Chewbacca.
No, that's...
Yes, please read your review as Chewbacca.
Chewbacca, let's do it.
Oh, God.
Yes, you can do Chewbacca.
Oh, Chewbacca? Okay, yes. I can deal with Chewbacca.
Chewbacca saying words.
I really... I feel like...
down as he's saying it, so he's reading it.
Now, shake your fist in the air when you do that.
Or your crossbow, whatever it takes. That's not a crossbow. All right.
Bowcaster.
Bowcaster.
Okay.
Roger, I don't think we've ever done that. And like, let's be fair. Like, let's be very frank here. The very first time I worked with Roger, I explained how much I prefer to... Well, you know what? Let's. The first time I worked with him, I think we were talking about ripping out the turf or trimming the hedges.
Yes.
So, and I don't remember you ever destroying furniture the way you just did. I thought that you would.
The only time that I have gone off the deep end like that.
Yes.
Was quite a number of years ago when Brian Noonan. Oh, God, I'm short of breath.
That's why I'm trying to talk you down, so you can do the news next.
Well, he was talking about wearing his Christmas pants and the Christmas meat, and I was crying so much from laughing, I could barely speak, and that was on the same level.
Gotcha.
Thank you so much, because I needed that.
You're welcome.
Oh,
my pleasure. I don't want anyone to get hurt in the process of the show.
You know, like they say, I like someone with a good sense of humor.
Yes, and we appreciate that. Are you good for doing the 1:30 news? I feel bad.
Namaste.
Namaste.
Okay.
And also with you.
Yeah.
I would rate these 5. So good. Soft, true to taste flavors, like the sugar variety. I was a happy camper. But! Or should I say, but with an extra D! Not long after eating about 20 of these, all hell broke loose! I had a gastrointestinal experience like nothing I've ever imagined. Cramps, sweating, bloating beyond my worst nightmare! I've had food poisoning from some bad shellfish, and that was almost like a skip in the park compared to what was going on inside me!
Well, where on earth did you find these dramatic readings of gummy bear reviews, Craig?
I just assumed that these are that funny, and they've been going on for a while, that someone has done this. And yeah, there's a bunch of people have read. There's one very famous review called the Harbaro Gummy Bear Cleanse review on Amazon, and it's been dramatically reviewed multiple times on YouTube.
Now, as a consumer of gummy bears, as you are, Craig, is there something to the binding nature of a gummy bear consumption?
What's interesting about this product and all these reviews is they're for the sugarless variety of the gummy bear,
which apparently
probably has some sort of
digestive challenges. Yes.
That's not sugar that might trouble the stomach.
Okay, because I'm not a
fan. I have never had that experience with a regular gummy bear.
Okay.
Yeah. I haven't either.
Yeah, so it's the sugarless gummy bears, the 5-pound bag.
You seem confused by that.
No, and again, it should be mentioned, it's the Haribo gummy bear.
Haribo.
Those are
That's the original.
The original, yeah, and then the internationally known. My favorite reviews, as I was looking at these, are the ones from people in other countries who say it doesn't taste the same to them as it does in their own country.
Oh.
Which is interesting.
That makes sense.
It does make sense. Yeah. Now, because we had to cut the game short, because we had rendered Roger Badish completely
incapacitated.
Yes. by reading one of the reviews for the gummy bears, we wanted to make sure we didn't leave anything on the table, as it were, for the voices that Elliot was bringing to What's in the Box.
Yes. Right.
So you had one more review to do. In which voice?
It was going to be in the voice of Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Okay. We do not. You know, as we were talking a lot of Star Wars this week.
Yeah.
How would that go?
It looks like it is well made and came perfectly packaged, but was a disappointing purchase.
So a British accent.
Something like that.
Is that young Obi-Wan Kenobi? Is that
Ewan
McGregor?
That's Ewan McGregor.
Ewan McGregor. Yeah. Okay.
Ewan McGregor McGregor doing Alec Guinness, or me doing Ewan McGregor doing Alec Guinness. Yeah. Kind of like me doing Dana Carvey doing George H.W.
How does that go?
Not gonna do it. It's not like quite
not prudent.
Yeah.
What was that, Craig?
Oh, no, I just said go ahead. I was agreeing with you.
Yeah,
I
want to agree with that one. I think it's interesting. Speaking of Alec Guinness as Obi-Wan Kenobi, I don't know how many people... He did not like doing the original Star Wars. Didn't he hate the script? Do you remember this?
He thought it was... Well, there were two things he would say. On the one hand, he would say it would be... He was the only person who thought it would be successful. He was the only... I guess he went on David Letterman. He had an interview. He talked about how it would be wonderful that children would enjoy it.
Wow.
But then in his own personal memoirs, if you read... I forget... My name escapes me. It's like his own personal memoirs. He talks about how just the whole idea of everyone, even in his home in England, associating him as Obi-Wan Kenobi. He even told the child in church one day he'd give him an autograph if he promised to never watch Star Wars again.
Wow.
Yeah. So wow. You can see there was a two. There was a bit there. After a while, he just got tired of hearing about
it. Well, I guess because of his the depth and breadth of his work, including like the Bridge over the River Kwai and you know Lawrence of Arabia. I'm looking at his.
And then what do you? IMDb. I was like, wow, she really knows a lot about this guy.
No, he was a tremendous actor.
He was classically trained actor.
But it's interesting how many of the there are also comments about Harrison Ford sort of not liking his role as Han Solo. He even made a quip about it on David Letterman. Called him what did he call himself? Ham Solo.
Ham Solo. And his whole bit after when he was, I don't know if anyone saw on the when he was doing the press tour for The Force Awakens, and every time a talk show host gave him a toy, a Star Wars toy, that toy met an untimely end.
Oh, really?
On Jimmy Fallon, he pretty much dismantled a Han Solo action figure. And I know it was one of those sideshow toy action figures that are fairly expensive. He Millennium Falcon Lego set. You know Legos.
Yeah.
It's like the giant.
And they're expensive.
Yeah, he threw it over his head and it shattered into a million pieces.
Wow.
And they're going, okay, if he, I sure hope whoever owned those toys knew it was going to happen ahead of time. Because all I know is that I would, at this point, I would never let Harrison Ford touch one of my toys. I would cry. I once had William Shatner take a Jean-Luc Picard action figure and dump it in water.
What?
Yeah, he did that to me once. And I was like, wow, that was kind of an interesting move. I can only imagine how I would have cried if Harrison Ford took my Han Solo and like ripped his leg off, like he did on the Jimmy Fallon show.
Wow.
So I'm wondering if, I mean, it's a bit, but I'm wondering if there's just a little bit of that disdain that he has.
He's a little cantankerous.
A wee bit. Well, I mean, you know, after getting like 40 million plus for the last movie, you know, I would.
I was just gonna say, I'm like, you know, cool off. They can play this any way they want to play it, but none of them are turning down the roles, and none of them are saying no, and none of them are not taking the money, and none of them, you know, it's like.
Well, of all of them though, who always seemed the most not appreciative, but seemed kind of like the most giddy about the whole thing was always Mark Hamill. He always kind of seemed like he was on Bill Left's show. I don't even think I told you this. And I didn't tell Bill that I called into his show. This was back probably about 10, 12 years ago. He had Mark Hamill on as a guest. And I called and I asked, and Mark Hamill could not have been sweeter. I asked if they knew while they were filming what they had on their hand. Like, what, you know, did they have any sense of it? Because it was all kind of like, you know, just acting to nobody being there. And he said he felt like what he thought it must have been like to do Wizard of Oz. Like, they were just sort of taking this big chance, this big leap of faith, this world that nobody had ever seen before. And it was really cool. It was a very sweet answer to, you know, I'm sure a question he gets a million times.
What I want to know is Harrison Ford going to turn down another big paycheck to do Indiana Jones?
Oh, interesting. Indy 5 is in the works.
Yeah.
He's going to do it?
He's committed?
Yeah, he said he'd do it.
Another big
paycheck.
They're
doing Indy 5. Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. It just came out like in the last day or so. Right?
And then you have poor Carrie Fisher, who's doing her bit and has everybody like shaming her or making comments to her about her appearance and all that online, which is...
I don't know where I was, and someone said, yeah, she's not aging well. And I said, she's aging. Reminded me of my aunt. I mean, you know, like my Aunt Pat, who has had a good time in her life. I mean, Carrie Fisher has done a lot, you know, beyond acting. She's lived her life. She's done things that she admits has taken their toll on her body, on her mind. But she describes her body as basically a bag that takes her brain from place to place.
Yeah.
It's kind of cool.
Yeah, my body is my brain bag. It hauls me around to those places and in front of faces where there's something to say or see.
Yeah.
It's kind of, I just think it's so obvious. Like the one woman, right? No one's talking about Harrison Ford not aging well.
Mm-mm.
Right? I mean, you can see him in the film. I just want to point this out. Tell me if you know. You can see him when he's holding the blaster at one point where he can't steady the blaster. Like, he's shaking. He's in his 70s.
Mm-hmm.
Like, give these people a break. Like, back off. I think the ageism and sexism in this country is ridiculous.
It's
just think it is so ridiculous.
It is shocking. The other thing she said that she, you know, there are fans that are saying things like, you know, people are saying, oh, she, you know, look how old she's gotten. She hasn't aged well. So she wrote, youth and beauty are not accomplishments. They're the temporary, happy byproducts of time and or DNA. Don't hold your breath for either. If you must hold air, take Gary's. I don't know. That must have been one of the tweeters.
Her, yeah, well, those her dog.
Oh, is that right?
It's her dog, Gary, who's one, become very popular.
He's got his tongue sticking out. Yeah. And,
the little Frenchie, little bulldog
is
she's got.
Is he aging well?
I mean, do they say that about Darth Vader? I mean, come on. He didn't age very well.
Mm-mm. No, he was just like that little pulpy brain.
Oh, really?
The helmet.
Yeah.
God, come on.
Well, she was saying that she's in a business where the only thing that matters is weight and appearance, and it's so messed up. They might as well say, get younger, because that's how easy it is.
And unfortunately, she's right.
Mm-hmm.
It's ridiculous.
The issue, too, is it's now, it's funny how interaction with celebrities has changed over the years, especially with things like social media and on Twitter. You can follow Carrie Fisher on Twitter. And she was really active on Twitter these past few weeks with the press junkets and all that. And you could tell people were tweeting to her and she was reading those tweets because she was reacting to them as well.
Right.
And a lot of times I think people have this attitude, well, you're famous and you got all this money, so I can say whatever I want to you. And, you know, and
you're not a human being.
That's
you're
not
going to
bother you. Right. And there are days I'm going, I cannot believe that when I was a kid and I wrote Mark Hamill a letter, you know, after Return of the Jedi, and I sent him a trading card, and I'm thinking, and this is before social media, and I wrote him a letter and I sent him a thing with a Sazy saying, I loved you and this and that and that, and I would feel so honored if if I got this back card back with me, for me, and I got it back like a year later.
Wow.
And he signed it. Aww. And he sent it back. Mind you, it took a year.
Well, that's a volume, I would imagine.
Right, and sure, he got a lot of stuff, or things, it just takes a while to get to you. And I was really appreciative of that small interaction I had with someone, writing them a letter, and they responded a year later. Now people can interact with their stars instantaneously.
Yep. It's crazy.
And get a response. And how did they choose to use it? You know, the years haven't been very kind to you, you know?
Yeah, you look real fat.
You know.
Thanks.
Thanks. You know, I get that quite a bit, actually, which is fine.
I always like the comeback on that. You know what the comeback is?
Yeah?
No.
Well, but you're ugly.
More after this on 720 WGN. It's pretty.
We didn't have time for it. We didn't have time to talk about it. It did not make the show. It had to go. Maybe next time. I don't know. This is the end of the show. We gotta go. The end of the show. Go slow. No, we didn't get to it. We thought we had time, but we blew it. We don't have time to discuss the amount of rain in Central Peru. No guitar picks, no flashlights, no candlesticks, no time, we ran out. That's what this is all about. Time just went too fast. There's no more sand in the hourglass.
Go to WGNradio.com, and I think that's my – I hope I captured enough of Craig just, like, waiting and hoping that maybe I would turn the music up.
Did that song say, there's no more sand in the hourglass?
That's the extended version of what we meant to get to. You've never heard the whole version.
I've never heard the whole version.
That's I think that was everything. I don't know if there's any more –
I did so many like view exits, and I was hoping that you'd stop.
No, I almost like kept going just to see how many times you would pop up. Thank you, Robin Trevino, for joining us on. The reason we created this segment is because a previous producer used to print up any topics that we might be covering on the show to the point where I felt bad throwing them away, so I would hold on to them and start. I'd be like, you know, we can get to these later, and so I accumulated a lot of things that we meant to get to. And so I eventually would go. I would just go through the stack and then recycle the paper. But now every show, we are often left with things we meant to get to. One of the things, Craig, I sent you a list of what might be the next top restaurants coming in the next year, like Chipotle. And I don't agree with any of those being on par with Chipotle. I mean, Cracker Barrel being the next Chipotle. As far as investments go, I guess. But you're talking about what the return on investment or...
I call it Cracker Barrel Fat Butt Barrel.
Only if you eat gummy bears. So, what were the other ones? Popeyes.
Popeyes.
Yeah, the thing about Popeyes is that like you don't. There's no alternative to spicy. Like if you don't, I mean, like you have to really like spicy chicken in order.
Regular.
No, they don't.
Yeah, I love spicy regular. Chicken.
It's like not as spicy, but they have
not as spicy. No, I don't think they put that on the menu. Not as spicy.
Not as spicy. Not quite. Doesn't have quite so much spam in it.
What were you surprised by on that list?
Number one is Domino's, which I know we've had a lot of
at
the show.
Not a long time. Not since I was threatened by Knife and Time. They were like, "Don't you ever?" And I actually do like their thin and crispy crust. It's kind of like this cracker. Type not Cracker Barrel, but
Fat Butt Barrel.
What I like, because I like the Domino's app. You can watch your pizza being made. We called Domino's while they were making our pizza.
I don't want to see my food being
no,
made.
You don't watch it, but I mean, like they tell you what step they
what
are.
Stage they're
yes,
on.
In the process.
Not like a camera.
The guy's like,
yeah,
here, throw some pepperoni on it. Oops, that one's on the floor.
That might be good to see. Maybe that would keep
you
some
would want to see.
Yes. I don't want to know.
Were there any other the steak and the shaken steak?
Shake Shack. Yeah, that's what it is. Something like that.
No, Shake Shack.
Shake Shack.
What you said.
That's what. Yeah, what he said.
I've heard
Shake
it both ways.
Shack.
Shake Shack.
Steak Shack.
No.
Shake Shack's like my bedroom on a Saturday night.
Okay. So, speaking of which, we've talked about cutting the cord. Is that really the same thing? I don't know. Craig, you live stream. I mean, not live stream, but you stream a lot of your video watching like Netflix and things like that.
Yeah, almost everything. I was actually talking today about how I don't watch live TV anymore.
At all?
No. Unless it's a sporting event that I really want to see.
Are there any, like, are there network shows that you can also get all those on streaming?
On Hulu, I can get everything. So I watch Flash. I watch all that day after on Hulu.
Interesting.
I finally saw all of Daredevil.
Oh, you saw? I've been watching Jessica Jones because
I'm doing that now too.
Yes,
I'm up to number four.
They're both amazing shows.
Griffin wants to know if he can watch Jessica Jones.
No.
The answer's no.
No.
It's a hard no.
Unfortunately, no.
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 Okay.
I know. Griffin. He would be kind of like put off by some things.
Yeah. Well, and David Tennant being a bad guy on the show. Yeah, Griffin's a big Doctor Who fan. Yeah. But I've been watching a lot of streaming television, and I have Roku, and I was telling Elliot this might be something you should look into because you can get all your Netflix.
Love Roku.
Yes, Roger's saying he loves Roku.
Yeah, I've had to severely downgrade my cable system at home, and I was just thinking about cutting the cord altogether. So
that's my dream.
Seriously, Roku is awesome.
I have the minimum cable that I can have.
I have everything.
And I don't watch, and I'm to
everything.
A point exactly where I don't watch anything.
Why do you have everything?
We have everything because we're homebodies and we watch a lot of television, and I like everything to be at my fingertips.
Me too. The only thing I don't have, I have Showtime. There's one that I know I have, maybe it's Encore that I don't have.
Yeah.
There's a couple, but my mom, I share our cable with my mom. So it's like I'm paying, but for two households. So it kind of comes out, it seems to be okay. But when I travel, I take the Roku with me. It's so convenient.
Yeah,
you can just stick that baby in any television anywhere, in a hotel, or if you're at an Airbnb, or if you're visiting somebody, you can watch anything anywhere. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it keeps all the programming. Like if you have, let's say you have your passwords for your Showtime. I watched Fargo on FX on my Roku.
Really. Mm-hmm.
I highly recommend Fargo. But have you watching second season? No. No one?
No.
I heard it was great.
Oh, my God, it was so good. So
and there's another great show that's coming up this week on the CW, right, Elliot?
What's coming up?
They're taking like a bunch of the semi-good guys and bad guys.
Legends of Tomorrow.
the set. Yes, thank you.
Yeah, go ahead, what?
Legends of Tomorrow.
Legends
yeah.
of Tomorrow.
Legends of Tomorrow. They're taking like some of the minor characters from.
Is that where Black
Canary
is going to be?
Yep.
Yes.
The Arrow characters and the Flash characters get a new show.
That's White Canary.
It is so
White
cool.
White Canary.
Hawk Girl is on there.
Is she going to get her soul back?
She did already.
She did.
Constantine helped.
All right. I see. You're jumping ahead of me. I haven't been able to catch up with this all this stuff.
It's so great.
All right then. And by the way, are you caught up on Scandal, Miss Daphne?
Yeah, I'm caught up.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's all intense.
It's amazing.
I'm also going back and watching a couple of the other seasons.
It's incredible.
I don't understand what's happening on that show.
You have to
she
go back.
Moved in to the White House and she's like, no, I don't know so much. All right.
I think I'm going to move back out.
Yeah. This isn't what I thought I was
going to
be.
No, you're not going to.
Yeah. What else are you? Oh, Good Wife. We also are
Good
big
Wife.
Fans. Oh, my. Okay.
Huge Good Wife fan.
Okay. Can I just say, I know none. Did you watch Good Wife, Robin?
No, I didn't.
Okay.
What?
So just Daphne and I. So this is going to be for the listeners who watch Good Wife. But, and I think this is for any show. I love that there's an element of season two that you think that they just hit and quit. Was it season one? The end of season one when Josh Charles calls and leaves her a message and
yes.
he says, never mind, you know, let's call, you know, that's fine. Let's just go back to work. But he calls and leaves her another message, which he is then erased by somebody else.
Yes.
And the fact that it came back in this season, the seventh season,
I thought was brilliant.
Because you never see things like come back and bite somebody in the ass. Like,
right.
You're like, oh, no one's, there's no justice.
Yes.
And the way that Julianna Margulies played that scene where she's like, get out. Oh, it was fantastic.
So good. That show is so, you know, in the,
I think it's better this season than it's been since before Josh Charles got killed.
Oh, yeah, for sure. For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. They did a great job. I mean, they've done a great job. Like, once his character got killed. And then you're
that
sort of
tough.
Like, yeah, yeah.
I loved him.
And you're like, okay, now what? You know, like I had a moment of like, what are they possibly going to do with this show?